talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Today we have a very, very special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Al, but you can call me Weird Al Yankovic, sir.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It says on your website that you were a spelling bee winner.
Yes, that is true.
And did that negatively or positively affect your childhood?
Are you kidding me? The girls wanted to have me, and the guys wanted to be me. I was the big man on campus, man. Once you're a spelling bee winner.
And the accordion player as well.
That's right.
So
that's an awesome double punch. 1, 2.
Nobody wants to hear a parody song when they can hear the real thing for the same price.
Two words. Eat it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, happy birthday to Kevin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
Roll another one.
You look so pretty.
Just like the other one.
Who put sand in her vagina?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Talk about being gay.
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Roll another one.
Chicks and midgets. Bam.
Just like the other one.
I want to be John Goodman.
This one seems to be about. I don't have another cent.
Losers. Come on. Is that what we are?
Apparently.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Just pass it around.
Yes, I love you.
And now,
face it, honey, our boy is weird.
I know he's weird.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody, at All New Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. What's happening? What?
Oh, you know no. What?
Don't start oh, my with gosh. Those noises.
Don't start. Are you kidding me? This is the day. This
I know,
is the
but
day he's been doing that since to. Yesterday.
No, you could have the day, and I hope you enjoy it, but don't start with the noises. No one wants to hear that.
It's icky.
Every day when Lisa comes in, this is before you get here, Kevin, I explain to her what I'm going to do to her every day.
Yes.
Every single day when
to
she
Lisa.
Walks in. That's
yes.
To Lisa, right.
And it's always different.
Yeah.
Except today I decided I was going to give Lisa a chance to heal and I was going to go right for Weird Al instead.
Thank God, a day off.
Well, you'll accomplish as much with Al as you have with Lisa.
I don't know how Al can be here in an hour and a half when he was doing a concert last night in Santa Ynez and was tweeting at midnight. How is he going to be here in an hour and a half?
Let's see.
I'm worried about my man Al.
It was midnight. How is he going to be here mid-morning?
Yes.
He's going to catch a nap and then get up and come in.
But that's not what
how it works.
Superstars do, though. Superstars don't, you know, the schedule conforms around them.
This is going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day and a long interview.
Yeah. They don't get off stage, rush home, take a 45-minute nap, get back up, and go do an interview.
Well,
they don't do that.
It's not a 45-minute nap if you're done at midnight.
It's too much. It's too much for Al. He needs
You're afraid we're taxing him a little bit?
It's too much. What if we kill Al? What if we're the ones who kill Al?
That
you ever think about that?
That would be the funniest thing ever.
No, it would not
it
be
would
funny
be
at
so
all.
Awesome if you were responsible for Al's death.
Don't even joke about that.
Oh,
don't even tease.
That
God
would make
forbid.
My life.
God forbid anything ever happens to Al.
I agree, but if you're responsible for it, now it becomes funny. Come on.
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
Exactly, Homer. Thank you. All right, let me tell you about this because I'm going to forget about it if I wait until we get back from holiday. This is great. This is a thing that's going on in San Francisco this weekend. It's a three-day symposium, and it is the Echo Sex Symposium 2. The Echo Sex Symposium.
Echo Sex.
Yes. Now, Echo Sex has to do with people who are in love with nature. Their sexuality is intertwined with nature. They realize that they're part of nature, and nature is in itself sensual and erotic. They see no separations between humans and nature. Now, the people behind this are Elizabeth Stevens. She's a professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz. Go Banana Slugs. And a former porn actress turned sexologist, Andy Sprinkle. So they are partners. They are also collaborators, and they came up with this Echo Sex thing. And what they do is, they encourage you to make love in a field, or do some literally actual tree hugging. They married the earth one time. They did that.
Wait, when they say have sex in a field, is it just one person or two? With the earth?
No, no. I think they're talking about couples making nature part of their sexual experiences.
All right.
This is something we feel, but it's also a strategy to engage people in the environment in a fun way. It's a way for people to have a mature adult relationship with nature. You understand that they married the earth at one point.
Yeah. They married the whole earth?
Yes. They married the whole earth. They
had How did the earth say I do?
Where they married the earth. They have other things going on, including this weekend a lecture by another former porn actress on the ecstasy of gardening, and then a lecture on how the adult industry can become more green. I mean, this is just wacky, right?
Yes.
It's different. The people that go to that must be very interesting.
And ugly.
Yeah, probably.
Let's be honest. Wow.
Not your most attractive, I'm guessing.
I can't imagine. I think they also married, I'm looking for it in the article here, but I think they also married the moon at one point. I think they married the earth, but then in a separate ceremony, they married the moon.
Well, the moon is jealous.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't the earth going to get jealous now?
Oh, here we go. But yeah, she
earth will crush the moon.
What about the sun?
Besides the earth, they have married the moon. They also married the Appalachian Mountains. They married the snow.
They married
and they're going
the
to
snow.
Spain later this summer, and they plan on marrying some coal. Apparently, there's a city that is famous for coal, and they're going to marry that while they're there. So they get married a lot. This is treatonism, they call it. Treatonism. So, yeah, that's what's going on this weekend. So you'll definitely want to be there for that. That's
definitely.
I wish I'd known.
Friday through Sunday.
You made your plans differently?
Yeah. Yeah, you're too late on this, Bean.
Wow. Yeah, you didn't give enough space to make plans, dude.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to go up there and marry a tree?
Exactly.
Wow.
What'd you do on your vacation? Married a tree.
Married a tree.
Good time.
Had sex with Mother Earth. Flirted with the moon. What the hell? Why can't I live next to these people? I love crazy. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Movie Beat on the program today.
Yes.
Right.
As it is Friday.
Huh, I wonder if Ralph liked the Green Lantern. I wonder if there's any way that we could tell in advance of his review whether he's excited about that movie.
See, here's the problem, though, with that movie. The problem is, so excited about it before you go, mm-hmm. pretty hard to live up to expectations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the more you look forward to a movie, the more times it won't quite reach. If you walk in thinking it's crappy and it blows you away, that's a different thing. But when you expect it to blow you away and you're really excited... I don't know. I hope.
Disappointment, people.
I hope.
Or he loves the Green Lantern so much, he'll be too embarrassed to tell us how bad it is.
Or it's
because
good.
He'll want it to be awesome.
Or it is awesome. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're reading the reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about
it. See, that's the thing.
I don't care about reviews. No.
Yeah. You don't care if it's good or not. Exactly.
All that tells me about reviews is what they like.
Right.
No one like me
hundreds
has...
It's hundreds of people, though.
How many of them are like me, Bean?
A lot of people. Well, no one's like you.
Okay. All right. So then I don't need to see what they have to say. If I'm on the bubble on a movie, like, oh, I don't know, maybe. I'll look at Rotten Tomatoes, which is a kind of an average, but I never use one guy or one review.
No, you should.
And that's what I'm going to see. So, in spite of Ralph's contest and enthusiasm this week, I've been able to block that out and still be excited for the movie.
All right.
We have Stacia Randall, who is a woman who has set the Guinness World Record for piercings. At only 3,200.
Very sexy young lady.
That's pretty strong.
Pictures will almost make you throw up.
That's correct.
Pretty rough.
Either will make you throw up or will almost make you throw up or want to. One of those is the only three options. cursed numbers. Do you have numbers that are cursed that you're afraid of? I don't know. You don't want to stay in a certain room.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. You don't want to have certain numbers on your license plate. Apparently in Afghanistan, if you have the number 39 on your license plate, everyone mocks you and you're the outcast and there's not much you can do.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fully...
Like, there's not enough other things there to make your life difficult.
I don't fully understand that, but... we also have more details on Gene Simmons. What's going on with him?
Okay.
We have Noah Wiley from a new series called Falling Skies, which is awesome.
I loved him in ER.
So good. Yeah, he's not a doctor in this one. Yeah, I keep thinking, hey, dude, we need some doctor help here. How about you?
Hasn't ER been off the air for many, many years?
No, but he hasn't been on it.
Yeah, he's been gone.
I think in a while.
They somehow have been on for, I think, 120 years.
I think it just wrapped up last year.
Oh, did it? All right. But he's good, though.
Yeah, I like
him.
He's
really
a lot.
Good. We also, let's see, we have D.L. Hughley in the studio.
Oh, great.
Talking about his improv shows. So that's going to be fun. We'll take a quick break now, and we'll come back. When we come back, we've got the showbiz beat with Mr. Ralph Garman. And I'm waiting for you to butt in and say Weird Al.
I know.
Well, I feel like we already established that Weird Al's on the program today.
Okay, Weird Al's on the program today. So, and I'm afraid. We're going to need a strategy for Bean in between now and then. Well, the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes. No. 10 minutes till 6.
Did I just hear an appearance from Clucky? I thought Clucky went home with Ralph. Yeah, I thought you left him at home now, Ralph.
He's running around the studio.
You bringing him into work again?
Not to come to work. He likes to come to work.
Are you guys mind if we start with a moment with? It's one of the rare ones that's not me.
Yes, love to hear
there
it.
We go.
And now, a moment with Bean.
She must have found out Tuesday that he has other women in his life up there at the mansion.
He's been a one-man woman. I think that's been what he's famous for.
That was a moment with Bean.
Hugh Hefner's not a woman.
No, he sure isn't.
What?
And he's not a woman that sticks with one man either.
No, he's not. He likes lots of men.
Yeah, I'm good. All right, Ralph joins us for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. What the hell is going on?
Let's just call this Bean Day. Let's just make it official National Bean Day.
May as well, right?
Might as well. Because we got Weird Al Yankovic coming into the studio today to talk about his new album.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is enough, by the way, for him.
Which is enough.
Yeah.
On top of that, it's Barry Manilow's birthday.
Come on.
Yay!
Come on with the come on.
Bean acts like he likes Barry Manilow.
He actually does.
I love Barry Manilow. What do you mean acts
much
like?
Much worse than that, Kevin. I would appreciate if it was an ironic love for Barry Manilow, but it's not.
Guys, there are
it's real.
Millions and millions and millions of Barry Manilow fans around the world.
You always say that.
It can't be a surprise to you that you know one.
You always say that there are millions and millions. And they're
Jersey Shore is the highest rated show on MTV.
They're all women and they're all 65 plus.
Not true. Not true.
It's because everybody's doing it doesn't make it good.
Everybody's not doing it, first of all. Although that's true, everyone's not doing this.
I'm just saying you can't be that surprised that you know somebody who likes Barry Manilow. Given how many Barry Manilow fans there are, everybody knows somebody. I'm your person.
And then on top of that, Buzz Aldrin's in the news today.
The guy that faked the moon landing?
Bean's other boyfriend, Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
Astronaut Buzz Aldrin's in the news.
And is he mine? Can I have him?
Turns out he's all yours. He is filing for divorce from his wife, Lois. They got married back on Valentine's Day in 1988, but now apparently they suffer irreconcilable differences, and they have split up.
He's an a-hole, and she's tired of it?
Yeah, and you know he's hitting on everything with a vagina, too, by the way.
Moon.
Hi, I'm Buzz. Oh,
and
you're
I'm Buzz.
Yeah, you're a cutie. Oh, you're lovely. I'd like to dance in your pants, know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to see my moon rocks?
Now, I know you guys...
Want to see my rover? Want to see my lunar rover? How about my... Here, how about my missile? You want to see my lunar missile? I'm Buzz.
Look, you guys mock Buzz, and he deserves it because he's kind of creepy. But if you've walked on the moon, doesn't that entitle you to getting as much tail as you want? I think if you're one of the few guys who has walked on the moon, you should be allowed to get laid. That's all I'm saying.
If you've walked on the moon and you can't get laid without being creepy.
Yeah.
Then F you. You get nothing.
I'm Buzz.
Come on. Hey. Guy walked on the moon, and he's still got to be all leery.
Yeah, whatever
and gross.
Point you get for moonwalking,
right.
you take him away because your name's Buzz. That's what happens.
Well, it's a nickname. His name's Edwin.
Oh, that's much better.
I'm Edwin. Yeah. Ooh, I got some candy in my pocket. Once you reach in and get it, I'm Edwin. I'm Buzz.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. And I'm Buzz. Oh, you're lovely.
That's when he met his dancing partner on Dancing with the Stars.
Ashley, yeah.
Pretty much just a... It was just a geriatric release of love right there in his pants. Very creepy. He'll be dead soon, right?
Well, he's in his 80s.
We get hope.
You guys see photos of his wife, too, by the way.
Yeah.
She looks like a comedy sketch about plastic surgery.
Oh, no.
Her face is pulled so tight that she doesn't have a nose anymore. It's just sort of two perforations in the center of her face that she breathes through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she looks like Voldemort. A little heavy on the facelifts, is what I'm saying. Congratulations to Go the F to Sleep, the new kids book. It will debut this week at number one on the New York Times bestseller list for advice books. It was number one on Amazon.com, by the way, before it was published. That's
so
how popular
funny.
Go the F to Sleep is with parents. It's a book written by a man who has a daughter, couldn't get her to fall asleep, so he wrote a faux children's book, a nursery rhyme, basically, about telling his daughter to go the F to sleep. The PDF of the book was leaked online and went viral. Publishers were worried because they had paid this guy a lot of money to have the right to publish the book. But it turns out that did nothing but increase the appetite for the book, and now it's going to debut at number one. But the reason everyone really is talking about it this week is because Samuel L. Jackson has recorded the audiobook version of Go the F to Sleep.
Fantastic.
So he'll be telling the girl in the book to go to the F to sleep on this Monday to Friday plane.
can we get some of that for later today, Ralph? I'd like to hear some of that.
I don't see why not.
Maybe Omar can hook us up?
I'm sure he could. Shocking news. Jesse James may have broken another relationship.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Friends of Jesse say that he's given Kat Von D her walking papers just 5 months after announcing their engagement. Insiders say that the relationship was filled with drama, too much for Jesse, and now apparently he just wants to be alone for a while. So it looks like that relationship may be over.
What? I hope that's not true.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. Well, this way he can go back to the fatherland and, get in a tank or something. Whatever he's up to these days.
They sure spent every minute of their relationship talking about how they finally got through all the bad relationships. Now they finally found the
this
perfect
the
person.
One.
This was going to last forever.
I
they've never been so happy and on.
Grow old with this one. This is the one. Forget what I said before. Remember what I said before? The other one was the one. This is the one.
Maybe the advice here is to understate how great the relationship is going until it's lasted a little while.
Yeah, just live your life.
And by a little while, that means about 40 years. And you can start. Bragging.
Start bragging, right.
Because I'm Buzz. My marriage didn't even last. Yeah.
Jim Carrey says his wild days are behind him because he's focused on a new form of expression. He says he has got himself a huge passion for painting. Got a new studio in New York City, and that's all he does all day long is paint, 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 paint.
Yeah.
He picks up a brush right after his morning coffee, and he says he enters another realm while he's painting.
Has anyone seen any of these paintings?
Not as of yet, but he's going to soon reveal it to the world, he claims.
Because you never know, in a situation like this, it could be brilliant, and it could be second grade.
Listen, listen, listen. It's like, hard. Painting is hard.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And even the people who paint, that's their lives, that's what they do. Even most of those people aren't very good. Very few celebrities who pick up a brush really have a gift for it. I mean, there's a handful. Tony Bennett apparently is an excellent painter. There are some people who really have a gift for it. But look, if it gets them away from making movies, I'm all for it. Whatever it takes.
Sure.
Just sculpt, paint. Just no more Mr. Popper's penguins when you get a chance.
Those wacky penguins are biting his face.
Do they live in his apartment and upset his life, those penguins. Oh, especially Loudy. Especially Loudy the
is
penguin.
Is Loudy a penguin?
You know why they call the penguin Loudy?
No,
I can't imagine.
He is a very loud penguin.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Loudy and Stinky, he sure farts, that penguin,
Don't get me started.
I'm down with the artwork, then.
I am, too. As long as he's not painting penguins.
Push him in that direction.
We're all in good shape. And Jennifer Lopez pulled a little diva move. She is starting to say, I don't know whether I'll be back to American Idol next year or not. See, she only had a one-year deal.
Oh, I see.
And ratings were up 5%. So insiders are saying she is renegotiating her contract for a huge raise from Fox and the producers of that show. And I think she was getting like $12
million. Yes. Wow. $12 million for the first year.
Wow. So how much more can she get?
And that's, you know, once they tape the auditions, that really is literally like a couple of hours a week, right, Ralph?
It's showing up money.
Show up and watch for a couple of hours, yeah.
And say, you're really, I was moved. I could do that.
I think one report I heard is that she's ticked off that Steven Tyler was making more than she was.
That's crazy.
I think I could see that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they should be paid the same.
Yeah.
But, $12 million.
But still, you're getting paid $12 million.
Right.
Maybe to her that's not a lot, but
yeah. It's gotta be a lot to her. Even to her, right?
Even to her. Absolutely. And she benefited from that exposure and her image overhaul from being on that program, and now finally has a hit record again, too, which is something that had eluded her for a number of years before AI.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. As we mentioned, singer Barry Manilow celebrates his 68th birthday today. Who is this audience who just randomly applauds?
Bean has a sound effect. You know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there were actually people in the next room. Joe Piscopo, the comedian Joe Piscopo, celebrates.
He gets applause. Come on. Barry Manilow gets applause. Joe Piscopo gets applause.
Director Bobby Farrelly of the legendary Farrelly Brothers is 53 years old today. Thomas Hayden Church celebrates his 51st birthday. Greg Kinnear is 48. Actor Jason Patrick is 45 years old. Will Forte from SNL is 41. Michael Showalter, very funny man, also celebrates his 41st birthday. And Venus Williams, tennis star Venus Williams, is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Think Weird Al's in the car listening to us right now on his way down here? You think he's got the radio on?
I think if he is, he'll do the right thing and turn around and go home.
How dare you? Alpocalypse is the new album coming out on Tuesday. Weird Al joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you brought up a story that we're going to talk about here about controversy over some numbers in a license plate that is causing some people to think the numbers are cursed. And I don't – I'm into numbers, as you know.
Bean is a number file.
I do. I notice
He's
numbers.
He's a number
I like
enthusiast.
I have numbers that I like. I have numbers that I don't like. There's no number that I'm afraid of. There's no number that I believe is cursed. But a lot of people are really, really into this. I mean, look, you don't have to go any further back than thinking about our old friend Hurley on Lost. He was convinced that those numbers in the lottery ticket that won him the money were cursed. And that's why so many bad things happened to him. So
those numbers were cursed.
Yeah, you can argue that.
And maybe I don't remember correctly because that show is confusing.
So what's up with 39? Why is 39 a bad thing?
Well, in Afghanistan, I don't know, this is kind of weird. They have a booming car sales industry, and it's been thrown into chaos, they say, by the aversion to the number 39, which almost overnight has become an unlikely synonym for pimp.
Huh.
Okay.
And a mark of shame. Ooh.
So if you register your new car and there's a 39 on the license plate, you are miserable and your friends and neighbors will make fun of you.
Yes. You won't even buy that car, apparently, because the number 39 so signifies that. Now, I don't know where that came from, if there was, you know, maybe there was a pimp who was like saying, oh, 39. Who knows where that kind of stuff comes from?
But apparently, maybe there was something in the news with a guy who had a 39 in his license plate that became such a big story that the number became associated. It's just like if your nickname were OJ, that's fine until one day all of a sudden it's not. And now you're living with the curse of having a name like OJ, right? Because now it doesn't mean the same thing as it did yesterday. Maybe that's what happened with 39 in Afghanistan.
Not even little kid. Now even little kids say, look, there goes the 39. This car is bad luck. I can't take my family out in it, says one father.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, apparently, it's not just that they're afraid of the number 39, but everybody else thinks that you are horrible for having the number 39 on it. So you don't want to be out in public in it either.
I know that we have done topics before where we've had superstitious people call in before. I bet there are people out there who are afraid of or stay away from certain numbers for whatever reason. Don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. But why? I mean, how? Or why? How does that start? I don't understand.
I don't know. You know, there are people, there are a lot of people who are, I don't know if it's a lot, there are some who are afraid of turning 27 because of how many famous people have died at 27. They think that that is a cursed number and a cursed age because of people like Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, you know, and all those people who died at 27 years old. There are people who are afraid of that number.
So they think when they get to that age, something's going to make them do that?
Yes.
That doesn't even make sense.
None of this makes sense. None of this being afraid of a number makes sense. But there are people. I mean, look how crazy people are over 13th floors. I mean, is there anything dumber than the 13th floor thing? No. And I don't even know how that started.
I don't know. The number 13 being unlucky. But I will tell you that 99% of the hotels in this country go from 12 to 14.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know 14 is 13, right, people? I mean, everybody understands that.
But what if there's a parking garage?
There's not a floor there that just skips. You're on the 13th floor when you get on the 14th. But almost every hotel in the United States does that.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it's because when people call in to book a room, if they say they had a room on the 13th floor, maybe they would turn it down. And so it's a business decision.
Right.
I bet that's exactly what it is why risk people not wanting to stay there and having empty rooms?
Because it's still the 13th floor. That's my point.
I know.
I mean,
I
you
know.
have to be 7 to understand that.
Yeah,
maybe, right?
I don't get that at all. So if you're afraid of numbers, if there's a number that you believe is cursed or is bad luck, we're dying to hear about it. This may be the topic that we don't get anyone on, but I suspect our listeners are high enough that something will strike them. Our number is not cursed, and it is toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, speaking of numbers, real quick, and we are going to go to your calls here in a minute, there was a little bit of a controversy just a few weeks ago. Lisa, you probably saw this in the news when United Airlines put the plane numbers back in service from 9/11. And people were outraged by that. People were like, no, I don't want to fly that flight. Whatever the flight number was going from Boston to New York that got hijacked on 9/11, they hadn't been using those numbers all these years.
Oh, my
gosh.
Well,
they put those numbers back in the system. And there were people who were freaked out. Like, it's bad luck to get on that plane because a plane with that number almost 10 years ago got hijacked.
The plane didn't just crash.
Yeah, it didn't just
crash.
Not
that it would matter, really. But
it doesn't matter at all.
There was a pretty specific reason those planes went down.
Right. But I mean, there are people who are afraid of flying on a plane with that number because something bad happened to a different plane in a different year with that same number. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about with superstitious and cursed numbers.
Yeah. You know we're going to get 666. You know we're going to get that.
Sure.
Because there are a lot of people that are afraid of that one. Or 66 or 466.
Right,
I don't
right.
know which it is. But anyway.
But,
so we'll,
but at least they would say that comes from the Bible, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Isn't that the interpretation is somehow that comes from there?
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. We'll take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067.
We're talking about numbers that people are afraid of, numbers that people are cursed. And Kevin and me Lister Paul Lee. I say Kevin and me Lister Paul Lee, thank you, dear Mike. Writes in, and apparently it's very tough being Chinese. Apparently there's so many pitfalls with numbers when you're Chinese, because apparently 4 is bad luck, and 8 is good luck, and 6 is something else, and 12 is this.
Why? Does it say why?
Well, it says that Paul says that Chinese people avoid the number 4 because the sound of their word for 4 rhymes with the Chinese word for death, for instance. Now, that's going pretty far to figure out a reason to be afraid of a number, isn't it? Just because it rhymes with something that sounds like something else?
But what I'm saying is, even if you realize that, how does that make the number bad? Because it rhymes with it.
I don't know. None of this makes any sense. But we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Just like people are afraid of the number 13, there's a number that you're afraid of or you think is cursed. Let's try Isaiah. Isaiah is on line 1, which is a very creepy number, if you ask me.
I don't like 1.
Isaiah, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa Lay.
Good morning.
The number I fear and hate is 31. I used to work for a computer company. Long story short, the following day, you know, after Halloween, all the packages did not get where they needed to go. All the packages just ended up broken. Got returned, like, up, you know what? It was ridiculous.
Okay, so the day after Halloween...
Yeah, which is October 31st.
I know that.
Day at work.
Yes. Okay, so you had a hard day at work, but you didn't just chalk it up to having a hard day at work, or now you're...
Why do you think the number 31 had anything to do with it? That bad day could have just as easily happened on another day, right?
No, the packages, literally just about every package you sent out was just wrong. Like every day at work seemed like an everyday thing, but the following day everything was just like the tracking numbers didn't match up.
Has that happened any other day besides that one day after Halloween?
I worked there for 5 years, and all 5 years it just was bad.
So
it was always bad on Halloween, or always bad on every month that had a 31?
That's the question.
Halloween, just October.
Okay, well,
Well, then why don't you be afraid of Halloween then?
Because of candy, dude.
Oh my God. That's a good. I couldn't have seen that coming.
Because of candy, dude. So it can't be Halloween's fault.
No, that's Halloween. Yeah. That's people effing around with packages on Halloween.
I was like too much sugar the next day at work.
What the hell All is right, going
Isaiah,
on?
You're fucked up. Thank you very much for the call. Though.
Because of candy, dude.
What's happening now? David, line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, our toll-free number is 1-800-520-1067. If you are afraid of or don't like or believe a number is cursed, please give us a call. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa Main.
Good morning.
My number is 1111.
Oh, it's very specific.
Yeah.
Two 11s in a row?
Yeah, two 11s in a row. I see it on the phone. I see it on the cable box. I see it everywhere. It just totally freaks me out.
Okay.
Can there be a dash or a comma or a space or another number between it? Or is it
just 1111?
I know, but I'm saying, is it four ones in a row?
It's four ones in a row, or, you know, or 11, two dots, and then 11 again.
Okay, that's what I was asking. So
what's the problem with 1111? Has something bad happened? Did something bad happen to you on November 11th?
I have no idea. Every time I look at the clock, it says 11:11.
Okay. Maybe you should put some batteries in your clock.
Right. Maybe your watch stopped a long time ago. But, David, why does it freak you out then? I mean, of course it's going to be twice a day you're going to see that on your clock. Why would that bother you unless it has an association for you with something negative?
Well, I don't know, but for some reason, when I happen to look at either the radio, my phone, the box, or anything, for some reason, I happen to look at it at that specific
All right.
time.
Does it? Have you ever seen 12:12 or 10:10 or 9:9, 8:8? Any of the others?
No, never.
Only 11:11.
Only 11:11.
And then what happens? Does bad luck follow? Does bad things happen when you see that?
I don't know. I looked it up, and it has something to do with astrology. It's some kind of something about the end of the world or some crap like that.
Good. That's very specific. I'm glad that you're afraid of something with such a good, well-reasoned reason.
Thank you for the call. Right. Shelley is on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's got kind of a creepy story, I think. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
My mother died at age 32, so I don't like the number 32.
Well, that's different.
I can understand not liking it, but do you go out of your way to avoid it, or do you think that it's cursed or it means bad luck because of what happened with your mom?
Yeah, well, it freaks me out when my girlfriend's turned 32, and I just feel... It's just death for me.
It's just meant bad things in your life.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if you were to get if you were to pick a lottery ticket, for example, and they just randomly generated it, would you be unhappy if the number 32 was on there?
No, not necessarily.
All right.
Now, that sounds pretty reasonable. Yeah, you're the only person we've talked to today who I don't think is bat-ass crazy.
Yeah. Well, we don't know about Shelley, just not for this reason.
Right.
There could be a lot of other reasons she's crazy. Thank you for the call, my dear. Let's try Paul. Remember we were talking, Kevin, about people who are afraid of turning 27?
Yeah, I didn't
Paul
get that.
May be one of those people. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa Mayer.
Good morning.
How old are you now?
35 now. So
you survived it. You dodged the bullet.
I did. But from the time I was in my sophomore year at college till the day I turned 28, I was a little paranoid because the number followed me pretty much everywhere.
Why? What does that mean? It followed you?
Well, I'd pull a number at a post office or something to move. Like, the number 27 was everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
But here's my question, Paul.
Tolkien's prophecy told me that no such thing as coincidence. Everything has a deeper meaning. I was at a party in college at Penn State, saw a poster that said Forever 27 with the caption, and it had Hendrix, Joplin, Jim Morrison, and Kurt Cobain in it. And I asked my buddy, I was like, Forever 27, what does that mean?
Oh, because that's what the day all those famous people died.
All of it. He said, oh, they all died when they were 27. You die at 27, you go to rock and roll heaven. So from that moment on, I had a few drinks that night, so I was a little, you know.
Right, it just stuck with you when you were afraid of 27 because of that, huh?
Well, I was trying to draw the connection of why that number was significant for me, and then that was the one thing that kind of jumped out in probably a vulnerable moment.
Here's my question. You said it followed you around, which means you saw it everywhere. So you had a party at college or whatever, you'd see the number 27. Every single time you saw that number, things did not go wrong, right? I mean, it's not...
No. I was trying to find that connection and why...
Why what? Oh, we lost him.
You know why?
Dead.
His number was actually 35.
Did he say
35? His number was actually 35.
He didn't realize he was he was scared of the wrong number.
Oh, man.
Well, I think we just killed a listener. That's unfortunate.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:52.
Is Al here yet?
No.
Where's Al?
He canceled, didn't he?
No, he did not cancel. Al did not cancel.
Oh, he's very busy right now with promotion. They just couldn't fit it in the schedule.
He wanted to do a real promotion.
Yeah.
So
Sorry, B.
He's coming in after the top of the hour.
Yeah,
Weird Al.
That was the plan.
That was the plan, but it looks like it's not going to happen.
You can play a couple clips. We'll give you that.
Al's going to be here.
Nah. No. Sorry.
Next, you'll tell me there's no Santa. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Ralph Garman is here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. Then the great Weird Al joins us.
All right. Let's say there was a story about Jesse James and Kat Von D breaking up. Let's say there was a story like that going around.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes it is your job to repeat those stories.
Right.
Sometimes. Uh-huh. Let's say, for example, you, Kevin. Let's say you were to repeat that story on the air.
Why don't we use a more current example, like last Showbiz? Yeah.
I think it's appropriate to say you would repeat that story on the air.
If I recall, I said,
if
I hope
that story
that's
was
not
going
true.
Around.
Those were my words.
I remember you humming Deutschland Uber
Alles. That's not
that's
correct.
I
believe that came from you, Ralph.
Anyway, turns out not every story that I say may be the truth, unbeknownst to me. But I'm finding out now more information that it is true. Life and Style reported, it's true that Life and Style reported that Jesse James and Kat Von D had split up.
Uh-huh.
But there's now another story. And sure, it has sources like Jesse James and Kat Von D in it, if you can trust them. But apparently the relationship is still very much together, and they're very much still on for their wedding. So
even though Kevin hoped that they broke up, you're saying, Ralph, that they're actually fine, and the rest of us are happy.
I'm trying to say, don't be too harsh on Kevin. Don't blame him, because the story was out there, and he was just repeating it. So I'm saying, cut Kevin some slack, people. Just because he repeated a false story, it really is not his fault.
What Kevin said was, I hope that's not true, when Ralph read the story.
So, they were tweeting just yesterday that the rumors about their split apparently are mistaken and that they're very much still together. There's my correction for what Kevin said earlier.
Doesn't it seem like that happens a lot to celebrities? If you're a celebrity couple, you must be breaking up every day, according to...
And if you're single, you are in a relationship with every other person that you've seen at a party with or a restaurant or that you've worked with, so... I recognize that half the things come out of my mouth on a daily basis probably aren't true.
Double-check these things, people. This is a pretty, pretty weak source you're listening to.
That's an excellent, excellent idea. Really, don't treat this as news or facts.
Guys, this seems weird to me, but look at the name of the winner of the Foo Fighters tickets that we just gave away.
Jesse
James?
Jesse James won tickets from us?
What?
That's the least we could do after we lied about his relationship breaking up. So.
It's a bizarre coincidence, but someone named Jesse James just won those Foo Fighters tickets.
Congratulations, Jesse.
Ralph.
Hope you and Kat have a good time at the Foo Fighters.
If you're still together.
They are. They're very much still together.
Oh.
You know, who's not together? Charlie Sheen and his ex-wife, Denise Richards.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny. I used to hate her. Now I'm not sure who to hate more.
Oh, she's bad. Queen of Sheba compared to him.
Yeah.
She is writing a tell-all book about their life together, which will go into intimate detail regarding their failed marriage.
Fantastic.
She tells Radar Online that the book is intended, however, to be inspirational.
Yeah.
Because she says she will also get into all the good stuff about her marriage. People have only read the rotten stuff, she says, but there was a beautiful love story between he and I, and then it went the way it went, she says.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure there were good times.
I'm sure there were. Look, you don't marry anybody unless there's some fun and love and good times in there, right?
And a lot of people, no matter how disastrous the marriage turns out, are able to come away with the positive feeling of, look at these great kids I got out of it, so I can never wish that it didn't happen.
Yeah. Look at these great kids I had that I let porn stars raise, Charlie can say.
True.
When he looks at his twins. Megan Fox, speaking of relationship news, is renewing her vows with her husband, Brian Austin Green, this weekend in honor of their first wedding anniversary. They're having a big party, and they're going to renew their vows. However, it wasn't her idea.
Oh, don't even tell me that. The first thought that came to my mind is he must be miserable.
Brian was the one who came up with the idea, suggested to her that they renew their vows. Turns out, E! Entertainment News reports he is quite sensitive.
And he said he would like to go through another round of I do's in front of all their friends and family.
It's just his way of saying, yes, I'm married to Megan Fox, and don't ever forget it, everybody else.
I win.
It's his way of saying, please don't leave me. Please don't ever leave me. I love you so much. Let's renew our vows to remind each other how much we love each other, especially how much you love me.
That's a desperation move.
Very desperate, yes. If you have any sort of confidence in yourself as a man, you don't go run around saying, let's renew our vows, honey.
Don't people that do that usually do it like at a 5-year or a 10-year sum?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what?
Bigger.
Yes. Most secure people don't even do it then.
I agree.
They just say, you know, I'm married to you every day. So every day I'm with you is a renewal of my vows because we're still together. Look at me. I'm still here. That means I renewed my vow this morning when I got up.
And didn't drive away and not return.
Drive away.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
And while we're talking about the Megster, she has wanted to do a comic book movie for some time. You know, she's a big comic book fan. I don't know if you know this or not, but she's a big geek when it comes to comic books. She passed on Wonder Woman. Who dodged a bullet there?
Yeah.
And there was a talk about adding Supergirl to the Superman pantheon since they're rebooting that franchise. She's passed on that as well. However, word is she's in talks with Warner Brothers and very interested in playing a potential Batgirl for a new series of franchise of films about Batgirl. So she said she would like to do that role because she wouldn't be stuck as a sidekick in a comic book movie, but rather play a feisty female warrior like Batgirl. So she looks like she may be doing that.
All right. You know what? I don't think I've ever asked you, Ralph.
Oh, yes.
What do you think of Megan Fox as an actress?
I think in the right role, she is very serviceable.
Okay. Like, that's sort of a compliment, I guess.
Well, look, she's not a terrific actress, but I think she's got a good screen persona. Sometimes it's more important for a film actor or actress to have a persona on screen that you relate to and like, and they're likable and you want to watch them, and she certainly has that. And I think she can be really good in the right role. I thought she was fine in the Transformers movie.
Plus, she's, I don't know if you guys know, but kind of pretty.
She is kind of pretty. Yeah. I thought she was, although I didn't care for the film, I thought she was sort of sexy and dangerous and interesting in Jennifer's Body, too.
I agree.
I thought she was real good in that. Jonah Hex, I didn't think she was that good in that.
Maybe she's not best in period pieces.
Yeah, I think she could be a female action star, an Angelina Jolie type in those kind of films. She could be a Batgirl in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
I agree.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Manilow is 68 years old today. Nothing, no music.
Just move on, dude. Take
no
that
trumpets,
as a...
no M80s, no fireworks.
Don't ask for it.
But I'm just thrown. I expected all day long. I was preparing myself for
whatever
cacophony of sound was going to follow that announcement.
Quick, move on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow.
Joe Piscopo turned 60 years old today. You know, my parents once sat on stage with Barry Manilow.
Sat on stage?
Yeah. Apparently, in his Vegas show, you can spend the extra couple bucks, and you can get tickets at a table on stage where Barry plays.
Okay.
He's got his setup and his piano and everything he plays, and they have reserved seating on the stage, so you can sit there and watch him from the stage.
Cool. What did they think of the show?
They loved it. They had a good time. Of course, they're 100, so you forgive them.
Yeah, you expect a 100-year-old to like him.
Yes.
Well, of course.
Not Bean.
Right.
100 on the inside.
He was born 100. Being like Barry Manilow, I guarantee you, when he was in grade school.
Out of the womb?
Yep.
Yeah. He was singing Looks Like We Made It when he came out of the vaginal canal. Piscopo's 60 years old today. Bobby Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers is 53. Thomas Hayden Church turns 51. Greg Kinnear is 48. Jason Patrick is 45. Will Forte is 41. Michael Showalter is 41 as well. And tennis star Venus Williams turns 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Told me, but I'm still tuning every show. Eat it. Put on your
yarmulke.
Hey, do that Hebrew thing.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise.
Come on, Blin.
are in the drive-thru line. Me and her. Cars in front of us, cars in back of us, all just waiting to order.
I might be wearing Swiss cheese, or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way.
I'm sorry, Al, we're out of time. The intro was just, nothing we could do. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Wow, a Weird Al Mega Master Mix. I'm impressed.
There you go.
Omar came in and said, I almost couldn't, because I have to keep it short enough. It was at like 6 minutes, and I had to take this song out and that song out, and he didn't want to.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, Weird Al, back in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new album is called Alpocalypse. It is his first in 5 years. It comes out on Tuesday. Are you excited to be back out there working? Got a record? Happy?
Yeah, I guess so.
As a musician, it's all right.
It's all right. No, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's been a while.
Now, it has been a while, and we always, you know, always intrigued when it takes what when we're waiting for 5 years for record. It seems like, what the hell is Al doing? But then we remember that you actually do have a life and a family, and maybe sometimes you want to do other things.
I just try to shoehorn that life in there every now and then. Yeah,
that helps.
It's not acceptable for Bean, though.
Sorry, Bean.
He would like an album a month.
Let me tell you something about Al, by the way. This is why Al, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I would poop on the Pope to spend time with Al Yankovic. I mean, I love this man, as you know.
That's true.
But you were on stage until what time in Santa Barbara last night, or in Santa Inez, I guess, last night?
Well, yeah, I just got back into LA about 3 hours ago.
All right.
And how does it, a guy at your level, do you have angels who fly you on their velvety, feathery wings back home after a show every night? Or do
I leave some, though. It's too expensive to buy.
Sure. Yeah. In the economy and all.
Yeah. You got a lot of controversy when this album came out, which I'm sure you didn't mind, because of the Al versus Lady Gaga.
Well, I don't court controversy, but sometimes it does happen. And it wound up not really being me versus Lady Gaga. It was me versus her manager, as it turns out. But at the time, I thought it was Lady Gaga because the manager was presenting himself as speaking for Gaga.
Tell people what happened.
You wanted to do the song, they said no.
This was detailed exhaustively in my blog, which was called The Gaga Saga. But I'll try to put it in a nutshell. Basically, I had to jump through a lot of hoops with Lady Gaga's manager to get permission to do my parody of Born This Way. And I was told, Gaga needs to hear the song. I was like, oh, well, obviously that means you need to see the lyrics. Well, I can understand that. And I wrote out the lyrics to the song. And I said, no, Gaga needs to hear it. I'm like, well, these are the lyrics. You know how the song goes.
You know my voice.
If you can, like, maybe put the two together in your head, that's pretty much how it's going to be. You shouldn't need me to have to go into the studio and actually record the whole thing. But if we don't hear it, the answer is no. So, okay, I'm in the studio. I record the song. A lot of time, a lot of expense. But I figured, well, after all this, there's no way they can say no.
Yeah, now this is a guaranteed yes.
Yeah, and then they said no. So at that point, I put the song on YouTube, uploaded it, and I put the whole story on my blog. And there was like a one-day media firestorm where people were like, what's going on here? And I guess Lady Gaga was actually being stopped in the street saying, you know, how come we're not letting Weird Al do the song?
Sweet.
And it turns out she had never heard the song. She had no idea I even wanted to do a parody. It was her manager the whole time saying, oh, Gaga wouldn't want to do this.
How often does that happen?
More often than not.
That's the way it
happens
with us
to us
too.
All the time, Al, where somebody will hear 20 times in a row for their people that they won't come on the show, they don't like the show, they can't be on the show, and then we'll run into them somewhere and they'll be like, hey guys, why can't I come on your show? Right. Why don't you ever ask me?
All the time.
Yeah.
And we go, what are you talking about? How's that possible? It's just people protecting her?
Pretty much. I mean, Lady Gaga was just interviewed in Rolling Stone recently where she said getting a Weird Al parody was like a rite of passage,
right,
and it was an empowering song.
That's how most people feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have to ask permission? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt on in your time with Al.
I was actually going to ask the same question because this is weird. Al has his own policy that's different from what everybody
does. Bean, is it okay if I license that poop on a Pope T-shirt? I think that I love that idea.
Please. Certainly.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't have to get her okay.
You know, legally, it's a gray area, and I've just always historically gotten permission from the original artists and songwriters, just because I think that's the way to go. If they want me to not do the song, I will gladly back away. But, this was a case where the only reason I uploaded it to YouTube in the first place was because I had to jump through all these hoops, and I actually had to record a master version of the song
right
before it was turned down.
Wow. You know, my iPhone just went off. I'm going to go turn it off. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. I knew I'm hearing some music from somewhere, and I couldn't figure out where. Yeah, I think it's my alarm. Hang on. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay. All right.
What the hell's happening with him?
I don't know.
It's either a dog or a phone or something that keeps barking. You don't have any idea what's going on. All right. So, Al, we have a bunch of clips from your new album.
You do?
Yes.
You don't have the actual album, but they give you clips?
Well, I don't know that we have the actual album. I don't know how that happened exactly, but we have small clips.
You should let me know. I've got connections. I know people. I could have even got you a copy for free.
Don't be ridiculous.
Oh.
First of all.
Beating you back?
Of course I am. Okay. Yeah.
Do we want to start clips, or should we take a break and come back with another?
I think we'll take a break because we have a lot of ground to cover with the great Al. I don't know if you're going to have time or the inclination to speak to fans or phone calls on Al.
Both.
Is that
I have okay. Any inclination.
And let me tell you something about the Al. And you can see our blog post at kevinandbean.com if you want to see more of what's going on with Al. But he's got ringtones. He's got a book. He's got an app. He's got a tour. He's got everything in the world going on. And we're not going to have time to cover it all. So definitely play along at kevinandbean.com or, of course, weirdal.com. And more with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean. The man, the legend, Weird Al Yankovic in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The album is called Alpocalypse. It comes out on Tuesday everywhere. By the way, Al, you've been in this business long enough now.
Why don't you get out?
You've seen a lot of changes. Obviously, you've seen the transformation from, you know, when you started out, you're making vinyl albums and cassettes and then CDs. And now, of course, it's digital. Has it been difficult for you to keep up with kind of the way being in the record business has changed? Just as a guy who's out there trying to make a living selling music.
Yeah, well, I don't actually have to manufacture the different media, so it doesn't really matter to me how it comes out. I mean, if they go back to Edison or wax cylinders, that's fine with me, you know.
I don't think they're gonna. It's just a hunch. Yeah.
But I mean, just in terms of, I mean, you're a popular recording artist, and like everyone, you're the victim of people sharing your music for free online. I mean, that's something you have to think about when you're deciding to put out new music, right?
I suppose, although, you know, you can't police the internet, and you can't, you know, be the bad guy, and, you know, it is a brave new world, and it's sort of like, you know, the music just has to live on its own. I mean, we just started streaming the album for free a couple of days ago, so, and you think, like, especially for a comedy album, that you wouldn't want to, like, kind of give it away ahead of time, but people seem to appreciate the fact that I'm letting people hear it for free, and actually my Amazon numbers went way up as soon as we started streaming
is
the
that
album.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh,
you can stream the new Weird Al album at MOG.com, by the way, if you want to check that out. How about the fact that MTV barely plays any videos anymore? Is that something that's going to be harder for you to get your videos seen now?
Well, it's harder to see it on MTV, certainly, but I mean, you can see the videos on YouTube and various portals on the internet. YouTube's like the new MTV. It's like, if you want to see a video, you don't really sit around all day long, I wonder if MTV's going to play a video. You know, it's like you go to you Google, you YouTube it, and there right. It is. MTV actually already has censored my new video.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
so
thank
you. Hold on. They're not playing it, but they censored it?
Yeah, just in case we ever play it,
okay.
We're not going to play it.
What was their problem with it?
I don't know if I can say without giving away a specific gag, but there was one thing that they thought was too graphic, and they had to put some black bars in it.
That doesn't happen to Weird Al very often,
no,
by the
doesn't.
Way, where something
how
is too graphic.
That?
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the new, are you talking about for I Perform This Way?
Perform This Way. No,
oh,
perform
really?
This,
for that
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
And that video comes out on Monday, officially.
That's correct,
right?
Yes. That's the world premiere.
Let's hear a little bit. Kevin, I know you have some clips from Alpocalypse. This is the first new record in 5 years. I'm not sure which ones you have, but maybe Al can tell us a little bit about what we're going to be
all
hearing.
All right. The first one's Perform This Way.
I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the lady.
Before we, it's the Lady Gaga.
That's the Lady
Saga.
Gaga one. That's right. The one.
There you go.
I'm sure my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can bite me, baby, and perform this way. I might be wearing Swiss cheese or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy. I perform this way.
By the way, I can see how that would make somebody who takes themselves seriously not like it, but she doesn't seem like that kind of person.
Yeah, anybody that wears a meat dress, you got to figure they really have a pretty good sense of humor about themselves.
You would think, yeah.
By the way, here's a tangent since you mentioned the meat dress. It's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week. People who are in Cleveland can actually go visit and see the dress in person.
Now, I heard about that. How do they keep a meat dress in a museum without it being disgusting?
I think if I were in that museum, I would leave rather than go see the meat dress.
Like, where are these flies coming from?
Yeah.
It does seem like a tough thing to keep raw meat from spoiling. Yeah.
They're in the maggot wing.
The reason I bring it up, Al, is I know that your fans have been campaigning to have you seriously placed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a musician. Is there any progress on that? Is that a possibility? You think you'll ever be nominated?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to guess no. You know, I'm thrilled that the fans care enough to spend that much time and energy to try to make that happen. But you know, they only take a small handful in every year, and I don't think that's going to be me. I just don't think that they have enough of a sense of humor to like nominate a guy named Weird Al.
They should, though, just based on the fact that anyone can do this, and yet you've done it for a long time.
You're the gold
time.
Standard.
Yeah,
right.
You're the gold standard.
Well, I'll tell you, if any other accordion-playing parody artist gets nominated before me, then I'll be upset.
All hell will break loose.
Yeah.
Right, the next clip I have is TMZ.
Okay.
Do you need to set that
up?
This
is a Taylor Swift parody, a parody of You Belong With Me, and it's about, oddly enough, about the website and TV show called TMZ.
The bad hair day and sweat stained t-shirt. That's the story that they're gonna feature. With exclusive pics of your flabby behind. You think you're all alone, but that's right when you'll find a bunch of paparazzi popping out of nowhere.
Have you been on TMZ a few times here and there? Not too much. You're not a guy who goes out
night,
much,
I think. Last night, sweet.
What? Yeah, I just happened to be out going to dinner, and they stopped me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got a song about you guys. So they were like, very interested in that. So it was very, very meta. Like, so Harvey Levin was like, you know, talking about the new TMZ song on TMZ.
Oh, that is weird.
All right.
We played it for him, Al. I think I told you.
Thank you for doing that.
We debuted it for him because he had not heard it yet.
Right.
What's it like, and this may be a tough question to answer, what's it like being Weird Al and going out and encountering fans just, you know, at the Costco or at the gas station or whatever? What are your fans like?
They're very nice. I mean, you know, I live in LA, obviously, so you don't get attacked too much. I mean, people are used to seeing celebrities and pseudo-celebrities around town, so it's more when I'm, like, in the Midwest or other parts of the country where people are like, you're the guy on the TV!
Then I'm not even sure which one.
Yeah,
just they've seen you on TV.
When you got the LASIK a few years ago and started people started seeing you for the first time without glasses, did you have a brief period of anonymity before people realized it was you again?
Yeah, it was weird. It was almost like I'd been wearing a Halloween costume like the first 6 years of my career, and all of a sudden, like I could walk down the street and nobody was establishing eye contact, and I was like, no, look, I'm Weird Al.
Hey.
Really? Hey, over here,
hey, everybody, just because I'm not wearing glasses.
And is it true that people often think you're Kenny G? Is that true?
Yeah, Kenny. You know, I toured for a year as Kenny G. Nobody even knew. It was amazing.
All right, I have one more clip, then we have to take a break. This is Party in the CIA.
You and Miley, your parody songs obviously have been your bread and butter and have been what has made you famous. But the thing that pisses me off that people don't know is what a great original songwriter Al is. And some of my very favorite songs that you've done, Al, have been the original songs you've done. Is it frustrating for you to not have them be accepted as well, or not at least made singles as often?
Well, I'm frustrated just because you're so mad.
He is mad.
I'm starting to get mad now myself. No, I mean, you know, I think the hardcore fans appreciate the parodies as much as the appreciate the originals as much as the parodies. But yeah, I mean, most if not all of my hits have been the parodies, and I don't get so much. I used to be, for like the first 20 years of my career, people would say, like, have you ever thought about writing your own songs? Like, well, yes, in fact, half of my albums are my own songs.
Right.
Thank you.
Been doing it from the beginning.
Thanks for noticing.
But I mean, when you write, I mean, like, You Don't Love Me Anymore, for instance, is a perfect example of a song that I think should have been a hit on its own, even though it's not a parody of something else. And I think I would be frustrated. But then I'm not Weird Al. I don't have the attitude.
You're not even
you
close
have.
To Weird Al, by the way.
You know. But I hope that people do appreciate the non-parody stuff that you do. That's
Bean,
all
as
I'm
long
saying.
As you appreciate it, that's all I care about.
Well, that's the point. I guess.
You've got Bean hook, line, and sinker. As a matter of fact, he's driving us crazy with you. Just letting you know
when
that.
We return, we're going to include your phone calls for Mr. Yankovic. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, the next show coming up is going to be on Saturday, July 9th. That's going to be in Costa Mesa at the Pacific Amphitheater. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. And we'll also mention Weird's book, which is called When I Grow Up, which, by the way, Kevin, a recent New York Times bestseller.
Strong.
Is there nothing this man can't do?
You know, I've got so many bitter writer friends. Like, you wrote 851 words, and you're a New York Times bestseller. I hate you.
And that's what you're looking for, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm looking for bitter friends.
Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. starting to get sad, by the way, that our time with Al is almost up.
I'm kind of depressed.
It's like a summer romance, and you know that, you know, school's getting ready to start up again. You guys are going to drift apart and break up, and I'm already anticipating the pain.
Al, you're making a joke. Bean's being serious. This is what he really is. Like, he's been in a good mood. I swear to God, you ask anyone on the staff, Bean's been in a better mood this week than in his life.
Absolutely.
I was so close to flying down there, Al. I was almost there in person, buddy. Matt writes in on the Twitter. You can follow us, of course, at Kevin and Bean or Al at Al Yankovic. What's it like to be America's Poet Laureate? That's a great question.
Is that what I am?
Apparently so.
Just say yes. Go with it.
I thought it was Rod McEwen, but no. It's nice.
It's nice. Jose writes in, I saw Al last night in Santa Ynez, and now he's in Los Angeles with you guys. The man is a machine.
Sleep is for the weak.
That's what I was trying 1-800. To tell
Bean. Bean's like, I don't know how he's going to do it. And I said, he'll probably not get much sleep.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls. Then we want to talk about Al's book that's in stores now and the app that goes with the book. Let's talk to David, because David has a great question about a very hot property in the world of Al right now that I'm hoping we'll get some more information about. Hi, David. You're on with the Great Weird Al. Go ahead.
Hey, Al. How's it going?
Hey, David.
Hey, I know you're here to talk about your album, but I just wanted to ask you if we can ever expect to see another Weird Al written movie. I've heard some rumors.
Oh, yeah. Well, the rumors were last year, because I was supposed to actually be I wrote a movie, and I was supposed to be directing it for Cartoon Network. And a long story, but basically they had a regime change, and everything that was in development got taken off the schedule.
Oh,
so
they got a new boss and came in and said, cancel everything.
Yes.
Out the door.
Wow. So it's not going to happen right away. I still would love to do another feature film, so sometime, hopefully in the next 30 years.
What would you make if money was no object?
You only get one question, dude. I'm sorry.
But you, I'll give a follow-up and say, what kind of movie would you like to, or are you interested in writing and seeing made, Al?
Just horror.
Just a Holocaust
horror
movie, yeah.
Weird Al's Holocaust movie, by the way, that would be the strangest thing ever, wouldn't it? Let's try, well, that's a dumb question. That's a bad question. I'm not
going to be being so, like, picky about the questions. He's never picky about the questions with any other guest.
I don't want to waste Al's time. All right, let's try Jace. Let's take one more. Jace is not even a name. I'm sorry. It's on line 4, though. Jace, whatever the hell that is, you're on with Al. Go ahead.
It's my name.
All right,
anyways,
Jace.
Hey, Al, I'm such a huge fan of yours. My question is, I'm just curious, I don't really hear any kind of profanity in your songs, and I was just wondering if that's a conscientious choice, or if that's something that's maybe pushed upon you.
Step it up. You got to step up the blueness.
Yeah, you know, it's not a calculated thing, but, you know, I don't even use profanity in my everyday life, so, you know, it's my humor and my songs are sort of an extension of my own personality, so I don't use anything harsh.
What's the worst word you use?
Dang it?
I think you use wiener.
Dang it.
Oh, wiener? Have you said wiener? Have you said that?
I have said wiener.
But wiener's a comedy word.
Yeah, there's a song on the new album called Stop Forwarding That Crap to Me. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I'm going to start sending back. Thank you for the call, Jace. I'm going to start sending the MP3 to every single person that forwards me crap from now on. I think that's the perfect answer to that.
That's
by the way.
Idea. You got it.
Just send him the whole song.
Isn't that interesting that Al doesn't curse in real life? There aren't very many people that you meet like that. I'm surprised. But he's just better than the rest of us, I guess, is what we're learning here.
Did you have a religious upbringing?
Yeah, I did.
Because I did, too, and then I went south, and you apparently stayed. You apparently stayed true.
If you go to Al Yankovic, by the way, there's a million links about a million things that are going on. You've got a new series of cartoons that are very funny, and I don't know how autobiographically true they are, but you talk about how you were at a court player at a very young age, and also a spelling bee champ. And man, does that get you the chicks when you're in middle school.
Yeah, the Duke Tune stuff. Yeah, and that was an actual interview, and those are all true stories. Yeah, the spelling bee champ and all that. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right, let's talk about the book. You have an empire with your music career, but you said, it's not enough for me. I'm going to go conquer another area.
Yeah.
I can write a book.
Conquer the children's lit market, the lucrative.
Sure. Yeah. And you'll move on from there once you've done that.
Yeah, then I'm off to Broadway, and then I'll be an astronaut.
Now, they give a lot of celebrities books, but very few of them become big hits. Like this one is actually selling well, right?
It's doing okay.
Well, great,
it's doing okay.
It. And what was the idea? Is it because you have a young kid of your own and you thought, hey, I'd like there to be something out there like this and there it doesn't already exist, so I'll make it?
Well, a lot of people thought that that was the case, but actually I wanted to do a children's book a long time ago and I just thought I didn't want to do it until I had reproduced because, you know, then people would talk. I started writing the book actually when one of my daughter was about 5 years old and I thought, oh, this would be really cool for me to read her bedtime story. And it didn't come out until she was 8 and now she's reading it to me for my bedtime story.
Sweet. Good. When she wanted you take out your teeth?
Yeah.
And
then she
puts them in the tell glass. People who haven't seen When I Grow Up what that's about.
It's the story of an 8-year-old kid named Billy who amuses and irritates his classmates during show and tell by talking about all the amazing, weird, incredible things he wants to be when he grows up.
All right, Bean, I just have to butt in here, and I just have to give you a 2-minute warning. Now, most of the time, we don't have to do this for the host, but Bean, you have about 2 minutes left.
No, and don't let him leave.
Al's going to have to move on.
Don't let him leave. Grab his leg. Beer mug, grab his leg.
No, don't waste the 2 minutes that you have. I'm saying really make it count now. I can play some clips.
What's the point of having an app for a children's book? Explain that to me. I don't understand the marketing there.
For people that just don't like books. No,
because reading is for losers. That's the motto of this show.
I'm not a voracious reader, if that's what you're saying.
The app is just very fun. I mean, it's for all, iPad and iPhone and iPod Touch. And you could either read the book to yourself or have me read it to you.
Nope.
It's interactive. You can touch things and things fly out of people's hair. You can put your name into it and it's personalized. If you tilt it, like the crayons roll off the table. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
Sounds like a strange amalgamation of just kind of everything.
It is. You can shave tarantulas. You can give a gorilla a massage.
All right, what's happening?
These are all true things.
I woke up this morning. I thought, how can I give a gorilla a massage?
Now you can. There's an app for that.
How about that? That's
great. The book is available now called When I Grow Up.
A minute now, Bean. 1 minute.
From author Al Yankovic. The app is available in the iTunes store for just $2.99. Again, the next Al show is going to be in Costa Mesa at the Pacific Amphitheater. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. And the new Weird Al album is going to be available in many formats coming this Tuesday. It is called
Seconds Now,
Alpocalypse. There's a regular CD, a deluxe CD, DVD, and a fancy schmancy super deluxe package where Al comes to your 4th of July barbecue.
And vinyl, too.
And vinyl as well. Al,
5 seconds.
Thank you for coming in. Promise us you'll never die.
I'll try.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, up.
Guys, there's really no reason for me to stick around. I'm just gonna head out.
Done.
You guys have a great weekend.
See ya.
We'll see you
soon. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. See ya. Bye-bye. Woo! Who knew it was that easy? Can we have Weird Al on every day?
That was rough, man. I thought we were going to lose Bean. Really did.
I thought
we were going to lose him.
That was a sea of
estrogen. That's what that was.
All right. I was going to pick a different fluid, but if you want to use estrogen.
Well, we're talking about Bean. I'm just saying.
Back that play. I'm with you. All right, before I get to showbiz news, let's give away some tickets to something cool, shall we? The LACMA. L.A. County Museum of Art is doing a huge retrospective of the work of Tim Burton. This is the director's artwork that's on view through October the 31st. It is over 700 drawings, paintings, photographs, moving image works, storyboards, puppets, concept artworks, maquettes, costumes, and other things from Tim Burton's long career and his films, including a number of unrealized and little-known personal projects. So if you're a Tim Burton fan, you definitely want to go to the Los Angeles County Museum of Art and check out this major retrospective of his work. I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away, but I thought I'd make it interesting and do a little trivia so we can get a real Tim Burton fan and have them win these tickets. One of Tim's earliest films was a film about a beloved family pet that is brought back to life.
Correct!
All I need to know is the title of that film. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers who get through with the answer will get a chance to see the major retrospective of Mr. Tim Burton. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Christina Hendricks is smoking hot.
Yes.
Literally.
Uh-oh.
She was at the Tony Awards on Sunday night, went to a party afterwards, and apparently stood a little too close to a burning candle at Carlisle's Empire Suite during an after party.
Sweet!
She caught fire, burst into flames. Her trench coat that she was wearing.
It's only sweet if she wasn't burned.
She wasn't burned. She was wearing her outfit and she had a coat on top of it, apparently. Got too close to one of the burning candles at the party. And everyone was like, what is that?
Smell something?
Someone cooking a babe? Is someone cooking a hot redhead? And there was a huge hole burned into her coat. Someone grabbed it off her, pulled her off her, and was able to put the fire out. So
Apparently she is unharmed, but still it was a scary moment for Christine at one of the parties after the Tonys. There were a lot of flaming people at the Tonys that night. She was just one of them, I guarantee.
I guarantee.
Snooki is expanding her empire. She is now designing a line of designer footwear. That's right.
What?
You'll get Snooki shoes. She's going to have a line of footwear that includes wedges and flip-flops. Wow, how do you design a flip-flop? She's got gifts.
Shut up, Snooki.
Apparently, the shoes will sell from $15 to $50. One pair is pink with a green pickle print.
Okay.
It's because she loves pickles, you see.
Yeah.
So she's got pink shoes with green pickles on them.
All right.
And then she's got fancier shoes with leopard prints and things like that.
She's a classy broad, I know that.
She is that.
So,
while we're talking about broads, Wipeout is coming back for a fifth season, which will include both the winter and summer edition. Producers have replaced Jill Wagner.
Whoa!
Jill Wagner
what?
Will no. no longer be the co-host of that show.
We loved her.
Did she move back to North Carolina to run the tire store like she said she wanted to?
No.
No, I don't believe so. I think she's got another career opportunity.
We love her.
Vanessa Minnillo will be taking over in her stead.
Oh, there you go.
What are you shaking your head for, Kevin? That's a pretty good replacement.
That's not bad, yeah.
Minnillo. She's pretty hot. Not as hot as Megan Fox.
Nope.
Megan Fox and her husband, Francis Scott Key. No, what's his name? Brian Austin Green.
Right.
Yeah. They're renewing their vows. They've been married for a year. They're going to throw a big party with all their friends and relatives, and they're going to renew their vows in front of all their loved ones. Here's the only thing, though. It wasn't her idea. It was her husband's.
That's weird. Don't let that get out.
Brian Austin Green said, honey, let's say I do again in front of everyone and renew our love in the eyes of our friends and the Lord. So apparently Megan agreed and said, okay, we can do that.
There aren't a lot of straight guys that enjoy weddings enough to go through one if they don't have to.
Word to your mother.
His mother didn't say it.
Oh. And Buzz Aldrin's in the news. Former astronaut Buzz Aldrin, he and his wife, Lois, they're apparently splitting up.
Imagine being married to that bag of hot air.
Buzz,
oh, man.
Buzz has filed for divorce. He's the one who filed.
Oh.
Because I want to get some new hot chickies. Yeah.
She's so lucky.
I'm Buzz. Would you like to take a ride on the lunar lander?
That's how he talked when he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Disgusting.
I'm Buzz.
Foul old pervert.
He's there. Hi, this is Buzz. And I spell astronaut with two S's.
That's right.
Get it?
Yeah. That's right. He was the Anthony Weiner of his time.
Yeah, you want to see my package? Oh, I got to make room in my clothes for my package.
I know you guys mock because he's old and creepy, and we were grossed out on Dancing with the Stars.
Right, although that's true. You're
agreeing to that? Don't you remember what a captivating interview he was when we had him on the Kevin Abbey show?
Brutal effing interview we had.
In detail, every minute of Walking on the Moon. Don't you remember that?
We had a long argument. We all vote on guests, and we were all like, I don't know, he's old. Bean's like, he's been on the moon. How do we not? So we finally did, and it was the longest, most boring, slow-moving, torturous interview ever.
I enjoyed it. Crushing. It was second only to the dude with the satellite dishes. That was the worst interview we've ever had.
I don't know.
Buzz was second to that.
Boy, that was boring.
I wish he had tried to rape me or something interesting during that interview. I was begging for him to be a perv instead of just a boring old fart.
How does a guy who walks on the moon not be able to tell us that story?
They should have left him there. That's what I always said.
I agree.
Not the moon and Buzz.
He's an American hero, and I won't stand by and let you talk about him this way.
G.I. Joe.
That's true.
That's a real American hero right there. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Suzanne was the first listener to get through. Suzanne?
Frankenweenie
was the name of the film we were talking about, the early Tim Burton film where a beloved family pet gets reincarnated. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the Tim Burton retrospective at the L.A. County Museum of Art.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Congratulations also to Michelle and Edwin and Jennifer and Anthony. They're all going to go see that exhibit as well.
I think when Suzanne woke up this morning, she said, I wonder if I'm going to just pick up the phone and say Frank and Weenie.
I wonder if Frank and Weenie's going to come up in my life today. You ever see Frank and Weenie, a short film you made about the dog? It's like Frankenstein. And the poster legendarily has the dog's head with the stitches on his neck.
You can see that's funny.
Yeah, it's very, very funny.
I like him.
I do, too. It's a cute little film. However, not really a Weenie dog. As an owner of a wiener dog, I was a little,
a little upset by the...
That dog looks much more like a pit bull or something.
The wiener inaccuracies?
It's not really a dachshund, as we say in the business.
You're not in the business.
I'm not. I don't even know what business that would be. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Showalter is 41 years old today. Actor Will Forte from Saturday Night Live is also 41. Venus Williams, the tennis star, is 31. Jason Patrick turns 45. Greg Kinnear turns 48 years old today. Thomas Hayden Church is 51. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 53. Joe Piscopo, comedian and also from Saturday Night Live, 60 years old today. And singer Barry Manilow celebrates his 68th birthday.
Those kids don't know who Barry Manilow is.
Bean, has Weird Al ever done a Barry Manilow parody?
Not that immediately comes to mind, no.
He didn't do Copacabana or anything?
Not that I can think of.
Can you imagine if those two things met? If those two things came together?
Bean would explode.
With Betty White in the video? he would never stop touching himself.
In a 7-Eleven?
I feel like it's my birthday.
Shot in a 7-Eleven. Someone puts a cow in there and a llama and a centipede. Oh, the greatest video
ever. While the mailman is coming by.
Right. The whole thing was done in Swedish.
I'm in.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Margarita Garcia of Inglewood. She won the tickets to see the Foo Fighters October 13th at the Forum. She also won the guitar off Dave Grohl's back.
What?
Now, Dave Grohl's a sweater, so he sweats a bit. So do with that what you will, but congratulations to Margarita. It is 8:09.
Is Al coming back, or is that it? That was the whole interview?
He's not coming back. That
gone,
was it.
Because now we got to move on to other stuff?
That
was
it.
Actor Noah Wiley joins us later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show in a show that I hear is awesome called Falling Skies. Also, the movie beat because it's Friday on the way. Right now, though, we want to talk about Gene Simmons. Now, I brought in some clips from the season premiere of Family Jewels, the Gene Simmons reality TV show on A&E. He, of course, is the bass player, co-lead singer of the band Kiss. And he has been living with a woman, a former Playmate of the Year named Shannon Tweed, for almost 30 years. But as they've been doing publicity for this new season, people are saying, I don't know if they're going to survive to the end of the season because they appear to be very close to breaking up. Here's when they made an appearance on the Today Show the other day, and you can really feel the tension.
Well, it's tense in the studio. I got to tell you, folks.
Body language.
Had you both on many, many times. We love you guys, but this concerns me. This is you're in deep pookie, Gene.
Oh, kill me now.
So, Gene, what you just said that you didn't know those girls except for from that photo?
Please. What he means is he didn't know their name.
It was a business.
Please, Jeannie.
She's not buying why he's running around with hot chicks all the time while she's sitting at home waiting for him. And there's speculation that this time the relationship really might be in trouble.
He's in the category of people who whatever comes out of their mouth, I doubt.
Right.
Because what he does is promote things. What a better way to promote this season of this TV show than to make it look like they're splitting up.
Well, so I'm going to give you a chance to say that to him yourself personally, because the great Gene Simmons joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Gene.
You know, gentlemen, before we get started,
yes.
I just had to say something. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I'm going to see the Foo Fighters coming when they come to Los Angeles in October. And I'm a big fan of your radio station and modern rock music. Mm-hmm. What's the name of that new single they've been playing? I think I just heard it on your radio station very recently.
That's
fantastic.
Rope.
Rope.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rope.
Oh,
really? Yeah, that's where you got to start, Gene. Come on.
He knew the name of the song.
Now, what about...
Before we get started, Lisa May, feel free to change your undergarments. It is me, Gene Simmons, from Kiss.
I think I'm going to be okay.
Gene, Kevin says he thinks that you're a master promoter. And that you are just drumming up interest for the latest season of Family Jewels by pretending that you and Shannon Tweed are having trouble at home. What say you?
Well, Kevin's a smart man. I understand. I am a renowned businessman. I've done lots of interesting things to promote my projects over the years. So I can understand how someone would be reticent to believe that anything I do is for any purpose outside of financial gain for myself. But this is all too real. With the friction between us is is veritable. And at least may speak of friction. A couple areas on your body.
Oh, I got that.
He's,
okay.
He's turning up the heat on Lisa, so maybe
that's
yes,
true.
He is.
Maybe he's going to be single.
Maybe it is true.
Shannon so, and I have been happily unmarried for close to 28 years.
Right.
And we've come close to breaking up before. We've come close, but no cigar. Lisa may speak of cigars. I've had a meat cigar, right?
Okay. How did that happen?
A meat cigar.
Wow.
Shannon says, look, I put up with it as many parents do. I put up with it because the kids were still at home. They were still in the house. But now that they're both off to college and they're adults and they're, you know, out creating their own lives, it's time for me to look around and see what's left for me. And she says, you're on the road all the time. And she's always seeing you on TMZ.com coming out of restaurants with 24-year-old busty blondes on your arm. And she's just tired of it. She has a point, doesn't she, Gene?
Of course. And we've dealt with this before in our relationship. But every once in a while, I come home. I'll bring flowers and jewelry. And at least, speaking of jewelry, I've got a pearl necklace. I'd like to
okay. I don't think we're getting any real answers here.
No, but what I'm saying is I come home and I mend things by passing around the proverbial peace pipe. At least, speaking of peace pipe, I've got a peace pipe right here.
Oh, come on. I'm not even sure. Are you happy with that one?
We'll run with it, see how it goes. And, over the years, she's put up with my womanizing and my antics because as thick as my ego
okay,
is,
we're gonna get out
my
right here.
Just as thick.
You're
at least my speaking of wallet.
All right. Thank all you, Gene. Right. We gotta go. It's been great.
Bye-bye, Gene.
To you.
See you later. Yeah. Bye. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, and Friday means time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Ah! Green Lantern! Ah!
What a surprise.
We've got other movies coming out this weekend. Let's talk about a couple of those before we get to GL, as I like to call them.
Is that what the cool kids call it?
That's what we call them in the Justice League. Sure. When we're hanging out with them up in the satellite space station, which is our home base.
You're scaring me.
The Art of Getting By is a film in limited release this weekend, starring Freddie Highmore, who I've been a fan of ever since he played the little kid in Neverland. With Johnny Depp, did you see the movie about the guy who wrote the Peter Pan book, J.M. Barrie?
Yes.
Kid's an amazing young actor. Emma Roberts is also in this film, and Alicia Silverstone also in the film. The plot is basically that Freddie Highmore's character, George, is a lonely teen who has made it all the way to his senior year in high school without ever doing any schoolwork.
Sweet.
Kevin.
And he's befriended by another young lady named Sally, played by Emma Roberts, who is a popular but much more complicated girl than she seems on the surface, at least, who recognizes him as a kindred spirit, and they strike up an unlikely friendship. This is getting great reviews, this film. You may want to check it out if you can find it. Again, it's in limited release. Here is a little scene from the film where George, again played by Freddie Highmore, is talking to Emma Roberts, and he's explaining to her the rules of how to get by cutting school.
Rule number one about cutting school.
I've cut school before.
To shop. Rule number one, cutting school is fun.
That's a rule?
Rule number two, cut rarely to preserve the specialness.
Is that even a word?
Rule number three, do something culturally rewarding with your time to earn it morally.
Rule number four, you're a dork.
Wrong. Rule number four, noodles.
Noodles?
And they go to have lunch, and they fall in love, and it's the special.
Of course,
little,
they do.
Well, it's for the young.
This
ones.
Is what the kids need: is more messages about dropping out of school.
Do something culturally important when you cut school, though. Go to a museum right. or something.
That's what lost
right.
me.
Oh yeah, Kevin's like, I just want to drink and pass out.
Set something on fire. Come on, do something fun.
No, it was like Ferris Bueller when he cut. He did something right. really cool with his day. If you're going to take the day off, do something cool with it. I think is the moral of the story.
All right.
Also opening up this weekend, Mr. Popper's Penguins. Oh,
there it is. There it is.
Oh, Mr. Popper, you sure have an unlikely bunch of penguins now in your possession. Is that going to complicate your life at all? I say yes.
I saw a billboard and one of them was like pulling at his cheek.
And that was Bitey.
No way. Is
yeah,
Bitey?
That's Bitey the penguin. Jim Carrey plays a successful businessman who loses touch with his family because he's so busy working. And so his wife and his kids, they become second place to his work. And he gets through an unlikely series of circumstances a delivery of a bunch of penguins.
And now what does he do? And then what does he do when his family falls in love with the penguins? Do the penguins become a device that reconnect him with his family? Is that possible?
I'm going to go with yes.
I say yes. Wait till you meet Bitey and Lovey and Nimrod and Loudy and Stinky. Yes, Mr. Popper's penguins will warm your heart even though they come from a cold climate.
Sure.
It's Mr. Popper's penguins. F you.
Ralph, why does Jim... I mean, I guess the answer is evident. They make huge money and he gets enormous paychecks to star in them. But why does he keep doing these movies?
Because he's a tool.
Okay.
He can make funny faces, B. When they bite him, he can make a funny face.
You penguins are ruining my life! Ow! Bitey, get off of me! Oh, Lovey, you love me so much. Oh, Nimrod, you're so Nimrod-y. Loudy, you're so loud. Oh, Stinky, you sure do smell up my bathtub with your penguin farts. Yeah, now you're there. You don't have to see the movie now. Now you've seen the movie. F this movie. I understand it was a popular children's book. I don't care.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't read it.
Okay.
I don't have to read it. But I do have to see these billboards everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
With Loudy and Bitey on them.
When I hear you describe it, I can't figure out how Kevin's going to convince us he had to go see it. I don't know what his excuse is going to be.
The kids. He's got the kids.
Dude, oh, that's it. I'm going
his
to... I'm going to see Green Lantern. I can't wait for Green Lantern. I'm not kidding.
It's so funny that someone sent me a great link, and I don't have it available, or I would tell you about it, people. I don't know the exact address for it. But it is a frame-for-frame comparison of the trailer for Mr. Popper's Penguins and the Smurfs movie. And it's identical. Neil Patrick Harris gets a box, and he opens it up, and the Smurfs are in there. Jim Carrey gets a box, and the Penguins are in there. The step for step, it's the exact same movie, only just insert random CGI'd cute character here. It is really just such a cliche. And yet, it's opening this weekend, and I'm sure a lot of kids will demand that they go see Mr. Popper's Penguins. Here's a scene where Mr. Popper, who isn't quite yet in love with the penguins, calls Animal Control to try to get his penguins out of his apartment.
Hey, Animal Control. Got a call about a bird?
I am very happy to see you. Oh, that's the little fella.
What the?
Go ahead, he's friendly.
I didn't know it was a penguin. I'm going to have to check the manual. It's not in the book.
Can't we just call it a pigeon? Big fat pigeon?
I can't touch it if it's not in the manual. It's a union violation. Try fishing game.
No. You need marine and waterfowl.
Sorry, bud. Try NYC sanitation.
Yeah, I only pick up the dead ones.
He can't get rid of these penguins!
All right.
Sure is trying to get rid of those penguins.
And lastly this weekend...
In brightest day, in blackest night,
who's such a dork?
No evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power.
Green Lantern's light! Green Lantern opens up this weekend. I got a chance to see this film earlier in the week.
Ah.
Now, here's the thing.
Got a chance to, meaning you stepped in everyone in your that was in your way to prevent you from seeing it early.
I got it. I was able to see it
stepped
early.
Stepped over corpses.
And I have to tell you, I really liked this film. Now, I know it's getting bad reviews. Everyone's talking about the reviews that it's getting. Okay. It's not getting great reviews. I think this is a case of the critics having higher expectations than even I did when they went in to see this film. The bar has been raised for comic book movies considerably, with the Dark Knight series and with the Iron Man series and with Thor and X-Men First Class this summer already. There is a certain level of filmmaking that people are expecting now when they go into a comic book movie. Didn't used to be the case.
Right.
Now, is The Green Lantern a great film? No, it is not. Does it have its problems? Absolutely it does. Ryan Reynolds, I don't think, is a great choice to play Green Lantern, but he does a much better job than I, frankly, anticipated when I went in to see the movie. Is the CGI overdone a little bit? Yes, it is. Is the main villain, Parallax, this force that they have to try to conquer, is it diminished a little bit because it's all CGI and it doesn't really take on much of a personality? Yeah. But, also, is it enormously fun? Are the people in it very likable and winning? Are the performances strong? Is the story overall very, very fun? And do you get on board? Is it a classic comic book superhero movie? Absolutely it is. So it's not a great film, but I think it's a good film, and
it's
I really
10,
enjoyed
but it's
it.
It's an 8.5.
It goes by very quickly. It's a very entertaining film. The effects are really well done. There's a lot of heart and a lot of hard work put into this, and you can really feel the affection that the filmmakers have for the source material. I think overall, it's a very entertaining, fine film. So it's not great, but I really did enjoy it.
And one more thing about it. Is it Mr. Popper's Penguins?
It is not Mr. Popper's Penguins.
So it's got that going for
it. I took my wife to see this because she likes Ryan Reynolds, especially with his shirt off. And she enjoyed it, and she's the farthest thing from a comic book geek ever. But she said, I don't like the sci-fi comic movies for the most part, but I thought this was fun. I really had a good time.
I think it looks great.
And it's a much better, more accessible movie for kids, let's say, than a First Class, X-Men First Class, or even a Thor. It's much more of a sort of a traditional comic book kind of feel-good summertime movie. So I can recommend it. Here's a scene where Ryan Reynolds, as Hal Jordan, he has just been turned into the Green Lantern. He's got the power ring for the first time. Gets an introduction from Tomar Ray, one of the other Green Lanterns whose job it is to kind of acclimate him to what his role is going to be as a Green Lantern. Voiced, CGI character is voiced by the amazing Jeffrey Rush. He's great in this.
I've been sent to welcome you here.
And here is?
Welcome to our. This planet has been our home for countless millennia. Since time immemorial, the Green Lantern Corps has served as the keepers of peace, order, and justice throughout the universe. To be chosen to join its ranks is the highest of honors and the greatest of responsibilities.
Yeah, that part I heard about.
Stick around till the end through the credits. There's a special scene at the end that will give you a little bonus material that I think sets up a sequel, in my opinion, that would be better than this film. If that's the storyline they're going to take up, I think it'll be even better than this film. So this is a case where the subsequent films may even get better than the first one. I'm sure they are planning a franchise. So Green Lantern is my pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, we were talking a few days ago, Lisa, mm-hmm. about how many of our favorite shows are gone. May comes around and season finales and they're out. And then what do you watch after that? And it's getting, every year it's getting better with new shows that you can now look forward to in the summer. And here's one that I've been looking forward to for so long that finally debuts this Sunday night at 9 o'clock on TNT. It is called Falling Skies. We're going to talk to Noah Wiley from the series in a second. First, here's a clip.
I was in school when the ships came. They were really big, and they said that we weren't gonna attack them with the nuclear bombs because they might have wanted to be friends.
But they didn't want to be friends.
Not at all. They blew up army bases, ships, the Navy, submarines, and all the soldiers are gone.
Now moms and dads have to fight.
And they came.
There were millions of
trillions everywhere.
My parents went out to get some help one day, and I know they're gone. They're dead.
I don't like little kids.
Oh, my God.
I don't like kid, little kids scare me.
Noah, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be back on with you guys.
Great to talk Why to you. Can't the aliens ever come and just be cool? Why can't they just come down and go, hey, what's up? Let's party intergalactically.
Well, Mr. Spielberg did that once before very sure. successfully. But this is definitely not your E.T. kind of alien show.
No, it is, you know, it's not.
It's kind of funny how it takes swings that way. It's just, for a long time, it was politically correct to say, hey, maybe they're more peaceful than we think, and let's give them credit, and let's make movies that way. Now we're back to they're going to destroy us, and this is just, I saw a screening of this, and it's so fantastic, and you're so good at it, Noah.
Oh, thanks.
Explain to people your role and how you get kind of thrust into the leadership of this.
I play a guy named Tom Mason, who was a former American history professor at Boston University, father of three, who was widowed in the initial invasion. And while I have two of my sons with me, my third has been captured by the aliens, as have a lot of adolescents who are being pressed into kind of a slave labor force for reasons we don't know. So in the beginning part of the season, obviously my guy's trying to get his family back together and keep them alive, but he's been given this larger responsibility of leading this group of 300 civilians out of the city of Boston, which has been overrun, and away from where he knows his son is. And so he's kind of reluctant to become a de facto military commander because he really is an academic by nature. And then the hilarity ensues.
All right. Let me now, this is a Bean speaking, Noah. Now, I didn't get the opportunity to see the screener, so I can't wait for Sunday. But let me ask you this, and this will determine for me how realistic this is. So you've got all these hundreds of people in Boston trying to reinvent themselves in the new world after the aliens have come. Do they still play Red Sox baseball? Do they still put a team on the field? Because they wouldn't let that go no matter what happens.
No, but there's this funny scene where I'm a history professor, so I'm trying to, you know, kind of rally the troops. by citing all the examples from history where a small group of people were able to defend themselves against a larger invading occupying army. And much like in school, nobody's really listening until I finally say Red Sox, Yankees, 04, and that turns everybody's head around.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right, exactly. That now, is this kind of like The Walking Dead in that we don't pick up the story when the invasion is happening? We don't see that part of it. We pick it up after that's already happened and we're living in the aftermath.
Yeah, we immediately start off 6 months into it. So all those moments of looking at the sky and going, oh, my God, what's that? That's all taking place in our backstory. It allows us an opportunity to start right in the thick of it with the plight these characters are facing.
Now, how do you do, is it all CGI, those aliens? Because it really, really looks like they're in front of you, and it seems like that's difficult acting if they're not.
You know, when we shot the pilot, it was all tennis balls on sticks and pieces of tape. And then when we went to series last year, they put a guy in a suit and had puppeteers working its various appendages below the camera frame.
Well, it's a great, great series, and it looks like it's a fantastic role. What attracted you to this role?
There was a couple
factors. Was it Moon Bloodgood?
I said, yeah, I'd like to work with her. A chance to work with Mr. Spielberg again, certainly. A chance to continue my very fruitful relationship with TNT. But probably most significant was wanting to look heroic to my 8-year-old son.
There you go. There you go.
Who doesn't think you're heroic?
No, not usually.
No one's dad ever looks cool to the kid.
Yeah.
You know, we had J.J. Abrams on the other day. This is the voice of Noah Wiley on the Kevin Bean Show, by the way. We're talking about Falling Skies, TNT, this Sunday night. We had J.J. on the other day talking about his film in theaters, Super 8, and Steven Spielberg had a lot to do with that and kind of guiding it and whatnot, even though J.J. wrote the story. And Spielberg, it seems like in your project too, is fascinated with how kids see the world. And he's always been great at putting that on the screen. Where do you think that comes from? Can you explain to me why he goes back to that theme so often, Noah?
Well, if you spend any time around him, he's got kind of a youthful exuberance and an air of excitement about him. Anyway, I mean, he has almost a childlike passion for what he does for a living, and he gets so excited at the notion of storytelling that it becomes infectious, and it really makes everybody get really excited to get on his page and play on his team. I asked him once, what the allure of aliens was, and he just said that ever since he was a kid, he had this sort of curiosity about what was out there, what was beyond, and that anytime you can introduce a threat that's external, it's the only opportunity you really have to get all the people on Earth on the same page and same team as well, and allow them to transcend all their petty differences and jealousy.
Right,
and prejudices.
Right.
Which makes for really interesting storytelling.
I figured Spielberg just sits in his office and people come in and they say, we'd like to do a movie. And he goes, aliens? And then they go, nope, get out.
What about Nazis? Yep, you got any Nazis in there?
I'll tell you something else, Noah, that was a little bit worrying before I saw the series is that you were on ER for 15 years?
Yeah.
Right? 16 years, something like that?
Yeah.
And it seemed to me before I watched it like, oh, maybe this is going to be difficult because I know him from that role for so long.
Yeah.
And why is he not raising his hand and saying, I'm a doctor. I worked in the ER for a long time. But it takes about 30 seconds to forget that. And I guess that's a credit to you and your acting.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I think I benefit gratefully from the fact that that character, John Carter, reinvented himself so many different ways over the course of that show. He's a difficult character to pigeonhole. He was started off as kind of the comic relief. He was the guy that was always spilling trays of urine on himself and the butt of the joke. And then gradually, as he matured, he got to be a better and better doctor until the end, in really synchronistic fashion, he ended up taking over the emergency room, which was a really exciting arc to play.
Sure.
But because he was constantly evolving and maturing, I never felt that it was one that I was going to be difficult to get away from. But thank you very much for the compliment.
Well, we hear great things about it. I can't wait to see it. Falling Skies is the name of the show. It debuts on TNT this Sunday night. And is the plan that this is going to be an ongoing series, possibly multiple seasons? Or is this? Do you have a already it's going to be 10 episodes or whatever?
Well, it's a 10-episode season. And assuming that things go well with our air date, we'll be back to work shooting in the fall. But I don't think that they want to make any more than 10. 10 is a great number because it allows you to really focus your attentions and craft the arc of the season from start to finish and really know where you're going to end up before you even start, which in science fiction is half the battle.
Yeah,
absolutely. Noah, great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Have a terrific weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, you guys. Great.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Funny man D.L. Hughley joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, how about giving away some passes for the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Bad Teacher?
Yay!
No food. That was a moment with right there. New film.
Been working with me too long.
Yeah. It's the end of a long week. And you know how it is when you're right there on the precipice, when you can see it in the horizon.
That's a toss-up.
New film. Starring Cameron Diaz, Justin Timberlake, John Michael Higgins, Jason Segel. Looks great. You'll see it on the Sony lot Thursday, June the 23rd. And it's in theaters everywhere on Friday the 24th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067, that's the number to call for your free passes for the advanced screening of Bad Teacher. Sad news. If, like me, you every day go to YouTube and punch up Friday so you can watch Rebecca Black singing your favorite song.
Well, it's a weekend tradition.
First of all, you don't do that. But
first of all, I do because... How do you know what the rest of the days of the week are going to be if you don't watch her tell you?
That's true. What
because
comes next?
Yesterday was Thursday. Today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday comes afterwards.
And I always wonder if she's this time going to get in the front seat.
No. Still in the back seat. Anyway, you can't see it anymore. It's been pulled from YouTube.
Why?
After 167 million views on YouTube.
My God.
It has been pulled.
Why has it been pulled?
Well, they say it's due to a copyright claim by Rebecca Black, which lends credence to the rumor that she's been fighting with the Arc Music Company, the people who put that together, over who has the copyright and who can make the money off of the single. So apparently she has filed some sort of complaint with YouTube, and that just as standard operational procedure for them, if there's a copyright issue, they just pull it off their site to avoid any problems. So... You can't see Friday anymore. One of the most popular internet videos you can no longer see on YouTube.
I'm okay with that.
Good thing I downloaded it and burned it to several DVDs so I can watch it around my house.
You know, they have this program. I don't know a lot about it, but they have this program at YouTube. If your video gets popular enough, you start getting a percentage of the ads.
Yeah, that's
based on a certain number of people that go to and I guess with what did you say 160 million? I guess she ended up making a fair amount of money off of it being available on YouTube. How is she going to make any money off of it if she takes it down?
Well, I think what she's saying is that company, Arc Music Company or whatever, made a lot more and she deserves some of it.
Right.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Until they settle that disagreement, no one's going to get to watch it. Here's the thing. Briefly, it turned up as a YouTube rental. Have you ever heard of YouTube rentals?
No.
There's a pay service on YouTube. Some videos, you have to pay $2.99 to watch.
A single video?
Yes.
$2.99?
Yes.
What?
A movie?
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
I don't think Taco Bell's involved in the procedure.
That's
at
weird.
All.
Yeah. Okay.
But then it went away completely, so we got nothing. Congratulations to Gene Simmons. I wish I had this story when you guys talked to him earlier today. He was given the key to the city to Winnipeg, Canada on Wednesday.
Is he from there?
Nope.
Then why?
I don't know. Apparently, they were just... His girlfriend, Shannon Tweed, his longtime girlfriend, she was born in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Okay.
And she, by the way, was on hand, hugging and kissing Gene and hanging out with him.
No, they're breaking up. They got nothing but troubles. Tension. Lots of tension.
But led people to think, maybe these arguments they're having, all this tension isn't quite as real as they would lead us to believe. If they're really fighting and she's leaving him, does she go with him to Canada for his acceptance of the key to the city?
No.
Yeah,
no,
that does seem
that
shaky.
That doesn't happen. No. I get a feeling that...
So we're officially calling BS.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I'm officially calling BS.
I still am saying I think when these episodes that are now airing were being filmed, I think it was a real plot line. I really
do you watch much of the show?
I've seen it on and off over the years. And I know that they do put them in obvious comical television situations.
They manufacture everything that happens on that show. Oh, we let the bath overflow, and all the water went down into Gene Simmons' precious memorabilia room where we water damaged all his memorabilia. Now we have to go find a kiss collector and see if we can buy some new memorabilia to replace it with before Dad gets home. It's like an I Love Lucy episode. Nothing is real on that show.
I agree there have been some crazy plot lines. I do agree. But I also think there's some real people involved who might have real problems that we also see. Just because some of it is fake doesn't mean all of it is fake.
Wrong.
Okay. I can't argue with wrong.
I think Bean could be right, but in this
instance, on this show.
I'm betting wrong.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm just saying.
Because
yes.
If your woman's upset with you, if she doesn't like your behavior, if she thinks you've been catting around, fellas, you know what she doesn't do? Show up at your public engagements. Much like Anthony Weiner's wife was nowhere
right.
to be seen.
Where was
recently.
Huma, right?
Where was Huma? That's what I was asking at home. Where's Huma?
You were saying that?
No, I wasn't. That sounds silly. Yeah. But he had his big resignation party yesterday.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And I was part of a party. It's more like a statement.
It's a party for some people.
I love the guy who's screaming out, "Are you erect now?" I like that guy. They had a heckler in the audience who was yelling at him. I was very impressed.
I love it.
But the reason I bring this up is because our good pal Larry Flint has published a public offer to Anthony Weiner to give him a job with Hustler Industries.
Running?
Working for the internet division. How appropriate. He could text his picture of his wang to anybody he wants to from there.
Get it published in a magazine if he wanted.
Larry says this is an offer that is not being made in jest. He has an actual job for him that involves actual work. He said, "To show our sincerity, we are willing to pay you 20% more than your former congressional salary, ensuring that your medical benefits would be equal to what you were previously receiving. You'd have to relocate to our corporate offices in Beverly Hills, California, but we would pay for all relocation costs."
Wow.
Larry's doing this not only because he believes that Weiner is a pretty sharp guy and has something to offer his company, but he wants to strike a blow against what he calls the hypocrisy within the federal and state governments that has been existing for years. And Larry doesn't.
He's right about that. I mean, there are people in Congress who got hookers that are still in Congress and didn't resign, but he resigned because of this. Well, he resigned because he lied, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It was the cover-up more than the crime, people are saying. But he believes that sex and public service shouldn't necessarily be intertwined, and if you get proven to be sexually shaky, doesn't mean you can't do your job as a politician. But
and
it's not the way America looks.
Larry loves Weiner.
Larry does love Weiner. He's a big Weiner fan. Right. Aren't we all? Today's celebrity birthdays. Tennis star Venus Williams celebrates her 31st birthday. Michael Showalter is 41. Will Forte from SNL. He is 41 as well. Jason Patrick is 45. Greg Kinnear turns 48. Thomas Hayden Church is 51. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers, soon to be creators of the Three Stooges movie. He's 53 years old today. Joe Piscopo turns 60. And Bean's favorite, Barry Manilow, celebrates his 68th birthday today.
There's no one clapping. That's a sound effect.
We didn't hear any Barry Manilow music today. I was surprised. I thought we did.
I know,
we'd be
and you
hearing...
keep pausing to let
It's
him...
just odd, though.
Well,
don't you think it's weird?
Yes, but let's move on. And
you have to acknowledge this.
We're dodging the bomb, the bullet. Let's get out of the way.
It's strange.
Come on now.
Every other year.
I blame you.
I'm just saying.
Is that what you're looking for?
Apparently, Bean is playing them from an AM radio this morning. That's where he decided. He's got this transistor up to his ear. He's on the All Barry channel. He's just holding it up to the microphone for us.
That is not high quality.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let me tell you what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going down to the Ontario Mills Mall, and I'm going to go get a glamour shot taken.
Sure.
And then I'm going to go to the Improv there and see D.L. Hughley on stage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Improv.com for tickets. D.L. joins us in studio on the Kevin Williams Show right now.
You can laugh and get a Cinnabon.
I know.
It's pretty cool.
They got an improv at a mall. Sweet deal.
Yes,
right there.
It is. Yes, it is. Well, you know, you gotta go where the need is greatest.
Sure, sure. DL, we love you. We haven't seen you in a while. How have you been, my friend?
I've been exceptional, man. I really have been. We have become the most juvenile. Well, I don't know if we've become, but we're a very juvenile.
We've been juvenile.
Like, you can only get fired for showing your Johnson. That's pretty much it. Like, you could start a war, you could lie, you could run the sixth largest economy into the world into the ground.
Right.
You show your Johnson.
Yep.
I and lie about it. He lied to the American people. They should have never asked him to see his Johnson. That's the thing. and Andrew Breitbart, the one who, I have other pictures. Any dude that walks around with pictures of another dude, Johnson, I have more questions for him.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he was carrying that around on his cell phone. That's an excellent point.
But let me ask you guys this question, because everybody said, it was the lying. I don't even think that's true, because if he came out and said, look, I sent my pictures of my Johnson to I think people still would have been calling for him to be fired.
Well, first, he's a liberal firebrand, so there was that.
And so he's got automatic enemies.
So automatic. Yeah. And liberals are just sissies anyway. Like they are. They're girls. Well, let me stop before the same people that are after Tracy Morgan come here now. But that's going bad. Man. Like this is the thing. You know, the Tracy Morgan thing. It's
explain to people the Tracy Morgan thing.
Well, he was on stage in Nashville, and he basically told a joke, and he said that if he found out his son were gay, he better talk like a guy, or he'd stab him. Yeah. And the gay community, whoever that is, like I don't even know who is the gay community, got upset, and they're calling for his job, and then he apologized, and they're like, we want him to give, you know, speeches, and we want him to meet with people and support gay. Like, what is he gonna actually have to marry a guy on the set of 30 Rock?
But to be out, just keep his job.
You're a perfect guy to have in, because we haven't talked about this much beyond the headlines, but you're a perfect guy doing the same line of work that Tracy Morgan did. Uh-huh. I'm sure there have been things that you've said that were you thought legitimate comedy topics that people took offense to. Well, I mean, that kind of comes with the territory with comedy, right? Or are there some things that are like this, just not funny enough that you can get away with?
Well, I think that everything has the potential to be funny. Here's the thing. There has to be some place where you can be profane. There has to be some place where you can be obscene. And that's the comedy stage or Vegas. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Anywhere in Vegas.
Yeah. And now
sounded the way we heard it. It sounded like he changed from comedy to now I'm going to make a social statement. I don't know.
Even when Michael Richards said what he said, I defended his right to say it. Don Imus, I defended his right to say it. I think that ultimately has to stop me. The thing in this country is that if I don't like something somebody says, I don't listen to them.
Right.
So the people who didn't want to hear him didn't go. Mm-hmm. So somebody who did go showed the people who didn't go and didn't care for his particular brand of humor what was said, and they took, you know, they got upset. You have the right to get upset if you paid and you went. This was not his, you know, he wasn't ranting in a corporate event or at a school. He was doing comedy. Right. And sometimes it's going to be funny, and to some people sometimes not. I'm not saying that they don't have the right to be offended. I think that ultimately you don't have the right to you have all kinds of rights here, and he has the right to tell a dumb joke, and you have the right to be equally offended. But isn't it a little silly that everything is
here's
so
the
antiseptic?
Here's the difference: is that everyone has always complained, but big companies like the one that owns this radio station now are running scared.
That's exactly,
and they're paying. They used to say, "Yeah, all right." Thanks for your complaint. Right. We'll take it on consideration. Now they say don't offend one. Right. We've been in meetings where they say don't offend one person.
But that's impossible.
That's what we say.
And you know, it's just like, look, we're dumb. We're like Sarah Palin went on a bus tour and didn't know anything about the country. Like, so it must be the short bus tour. Like, I don't know if she'll be president, but she damn sure won't be on Are You Smarter Than the Fifth Grade. Paul Revere and his bells and
that was crazy.
Like, I'm like, and then people went on Wikipedia and tried to change Wikipedia. Like, I could get an A in history if you could just make up answers.
Right.
That's right. Absolutely.
Who was the first president? Lil Wayne. Oh, there. And then every time somebody wants to say something about that, they evoke the specter of the founding fathers. Wouldn't the founding fathers be a little shocked if they found out we had a black president?
Like, well, they probably would have been.
Like, who is the mulatto? I think that's one of Thomas Jefferson's boys. He loves the colors.
D.L. Hughley in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Improv is happening this weekend at the Ontario Mills Mall. By the way, before we break, and since we're on the topic, have you ever, in the heat of the comedic moment on stage, said something that afterwards you thought, I wish I could take it back. I wish I hadn't said it.
Yes, but I can't remember what it is. But
really, it does
you
happen.
Just remember that
sensation. Yeah, I just remember that sensation. Yeah. But I think that that's ultimately, isn't it art to go as far as you can?
Yeah,
to,
of course. And a lot of times you go too far and you don't mean it, but.
Yeah, it's over. And I think that the mistake Tracy and a lot of people make is apologize. I really do. I think that you apologize, then you go to rehab. Like, Wiener went to rehab. Like, what rehab do you go so you don't tweet to Johnson or somebody?
That's a good question. I didn't know that Wiener rehab.
That is very specialized. All right. We'll take a break. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, this weekend at the Ontario Mills Mall, Ontario Improv.com. DL is here. We'll talk more with him right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 after 9.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You got a clock look.
DL Hughley here on the Kevin and Bean Show in studio. It's always a pleasure to catch up with him on stage in Ontario at the Improv, Improv.com, tonight, Saturday night, Sunday night. What's on your iPod? You listen to any Foo Fighters?
Who's on it? What do you got?
I listen to Black Keys. Okay. I like Adele.
They're great, yeah. I like, that's why Adele's, I asked, because you came Jay-Z. In talking about the Black Keys. It sounds like you might like a little bit of everything.
I like what was the brothers? Folk singers.
The Mumford and Sons.
I love, like them.
Wow.
I'm really eclectic.
You don't find a lot of brothers listening to banjo music. How about that?
The banjo's got to have to turn down a little bit. It makes my neck itch.
Thank you.
I feel like, oh, man, my neck itches and I feel so lightheaded.
Exactly.
What is this cotton? Is this cotton? It's annoying me. I'm telling you, man. It's but I listen to that because my children are so, they listen to everything now. So.
Sure, right. So, do you are you in touch with any of your Kings of Comedy buddies?
Oh yeah, all the time. Well,
the three of you that are left.
Yeah, but I talk to them all the time. My wife and Sid's wife hang out. I can always tell when a residual check comes in because there's an empty envelope and my wife's gone.
Yeah, but not even a note. Nothing.
No, that is the note.
Oh, that is the note.
It's like the breadcrumb trail.
There used to be money here.
But it's I'm on the road so much. Like, I just got back from New York yesterday. Uh-huh. And then I'm here, and then I'll go to Omaha, Nebraska.
All right.
And then I actually have to come back because my son is graduating.
Are there parts? College. I'm sorry. Your son is graduating what?
On the 26th, so I have to come back, okay. And I'm getting an honorary doctorate. So next time you see me.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You're getting an honorary doctorate?
I absolutely am.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold up. Who?
I am getting an honorary doctorate.
Yeah, I know you.
Doctorate.
From who?
From Columbia School of Broadcasting. But who cares? Who cares, which is this side of the 13th grade? But no one cares.
The point is, you want to be referred to as Dr. H.
Do we have to call you doctor?
Yes.
Come on now.
I'm sure my qualifications more than will satisfy the board of trying to permanent thing. You know what's so funny? I was in New York when that Arnold scandal broke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was some lady going, he's ruined the Kennedy name. Oh, yeah, the Kennedy name.
That's what I thought. Everybody's like, oh, the Kennedys are going to be...
Are you crazy?
That's what I thought.
Him and his brother, Robert and John, was tag teaming the same chick. Ted drove off a bridge with a hooker while he was drunk and didn't know what happened. Oh, it's the Mexican baby that ruined it.
Oh, all of a sudden, now you got trouble, right?
Maybe he got his Marias mixed up. Who knows? But anyway, they actually said, she said, well, she didn't know that they had he had a baby with the maid. I'm like, oh, the baby was 6 months old, had muscles, and could cut grass. That wasn't a hit. Look at the way that 9 month old can hold that leaf blower with one hand. That wasn't a tip. Now we know why he didn't want to close the border down. He wanted to be able to visit his children.
You will never run out of material as long as there are politics in this country. Man. That's
not,
for sure.
As long as there's anything like that. Now, remember when the president, was giving the speech about Bin Laden because he finally killed him.
Right, right.
And people were going, we want to see pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the amazing thing about America, like, we believe what we want. Like, people saw pictures of the Holocaust. Some people still deny that.
Yeah.
People saw pictures of the moon landing. People still don't. Nobody's ever seen a picture of Jesus except the one people draw that looks like Brad Pitt from Legends of the Fall. But they all believe that.
A lot of people believe that, yeah.
Right? So, they want him to be hot, right?
Right. See, Jesus didn't even ever see a white person. But who cares about that? This looks good in our window. But we are just, it's so juvenile where we are. Like, I was in Denver, and there was this cat named Michael Hancock who just... became the I was performing in Denver last week. He just got elected to the office of the mayor. And when he was one of 10 children. His brother died of AIDS. His sister was killed by a serial killer and beaten.
Oh my God.
He was 14 years old. He was crying. He said, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to be the mayor, first black mayor of Denver. And he won. And then 2 days later, they found out he was with a hooker. But like, I'm like, if Colorado can approve legalized marijuana, they can handle a black dude with a hooker.
Come on now.
Right? Especially with a dude with the last name Hancock. Come on. What do you think is going to happen? But that's how juvenile we are. Like, it's so amazing.
It is. The sex thing is the big taboo.
Right.
You can kill somebody.
Yeah.
You can be Dick Cheney and shoot somebody in the face. Right. That's all good, right?
You show your wiener, no pun intended. But, remember, I'm so glad for technology because we used to have to draw ours. Hey, man, you finished with that fax machine? This is going to set the mailroom ablaze right here. And this dude, it wasn't even as real. It was just a ball, underwear buzz.
It looked like
a Sears ad.
Yeah, it really was. There was no...
Underwear bulge is not a sexual controversy. That's why we wear boxers.
Right. DL, we're almost out of time, but I know you're a fan of the president in general.
In general.
How are you feeling with 2012? I mean, right around the corner. I mean, we're starting to get into heating up toward the presidential election. How are you feeling about him versus whoever's going to be running against him?
I do not approve of this talk.
That if the economy is getting, it's going to be obviously has been a concern for a long time. I think, you know, you have to write off the Palins and the Gingriches and people like that. But I think Mitt Romney kind of, you know, could be a little bit of trouble. But I think but if he has to talk, that dude looks like he makes George Hamlin go, damn, sell the tanning booth.
Right.
But I think he could be in trouble for the guy.
Is there a scenario in your mind where the president could be a one-termer?
If the gas stays high, and I think obviously if the economy doesn't seem to make any kind of inroads, I think he could be in trouble.
This is why I'm saying D.L. Hughley is the second black president of the United States. That's what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
But you should see my tweets.
Yeah. You're already automatically disqualified.
Right. And I like weed. Oh, man.
Well, there's your campaign slogan right there.
Hey, I could be mayor of Denver.
That's right. You could. Well, it's a great live show. You will have a fun time, I guarantee it, at the Ontario Improv at the Ontario Mills Mall. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. That's this weekend with the great D.L. Hughley on stage. Go to improv.com to buy your tickets. Always a pleasure to catch up.
Likewise,
man.
Thanks for coming in.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
You are.
Okay.
So there.
He's stalling.
He's rearranging here.
D.L. Hughley came in here and made everything all wiggly piggly.
He did mess stuff up a bit.
He did a little bit. But he's very, very funny, so that makes up for it.
He's great.
Yeah, I prefer if you didn't have really funny people on before I do my little
stuff. You pale
very uncomfortable.
We'll do our best.
I do. Well, I literally pale in comparison to D.L. Hughley. All right, it is the final Showbiz Beat of the week. Don't bogart that joint.
Well, not yet. Now you still got your report to do first.
I think you still have some more lies to tell about celebrities.
How
don't you?
Dare you,
before
sir?
We move on.
Congratulations to Vanessa Minnillo. She has been signed by ABC to replace Jill Wagner as the new co-host of Wipeout. The reality series will be returning for a fifth season, which will include both the winter and summer editions. And I think Vanessa will do a fine job. I thought Jill was great, but I think Vanessa will do a fine job. She's got a good sense of humor. She's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
We fell very deeply in love with Jill when she came in.
Understandably.
Remember how much we enjoyed her.
I dig her, too, but she's moving on to bigger and better things.
So I understand.
What can we do? We can get Vanessa Minnillo.
Yep.
That's a good thing. Michael Jackson's sister LaToya has written a book.
Could have been worse. They could have picked LaToya.
That's right. This means LaToya has written one more book than she's read. It's called Starting Over. And in the book, according to people who have read it, you know, once they transposed it from crayon into typing.
Yeah, she seems dumb. Is that bad for me
yes,
to say?
Yes, very.
She seems really dumb.
Yeah. Did you watch Celebrity Apprentice
yes.
at all? Yeah, she didn't seem like the sharpest
dumb.
Knife in the drawer.
And I know that it sounds like a joke to make fun of the plastic surgery that they get in that family. She was freakish looking and hard to watch on screen, wasn't
she? See, that's
she?
Funny. I don't find that. I am so inured to it, I guess. I'm so used to it. The whole family. That it just it really
like a monster.
It doesn't even bother me anymore. I just look at her and say, oh, there's LaToya. Just that's what she looks like.
Part of the Jackson family is plastic surgery?
It was like Michael towards the end. You don't look and say, oh, my God, he's hit. It's just like, oh, yeah, this Michael Jackson's on TV. What's up? What's the story with him? She's written a book in which she says in the book that her brother predicted he would be murdered over his estate.
Oh, dear God.
Primarily his publishing catalog, which includes all of the Lennon and McCartney songs that were written for the Beatles.
Did she predict it was going to be propofol?
Paul McCartney killed him. That's what I'm saying. Paul McCartney killed Michael Jackson.
I'm guessing he didn't.
Really? What do you know?
I don't know anything. Just guessing.
Not propofol. Propofol. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm claiming. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Nicely done.
I hope you all enjoy the meal.
You're not going to get any better than that. You should
just sign off. I really should. Let's just jump to celebrity birthday, shall we? That's as good as it's going to get on a Friday. Today's celebrity birthday.
No, I'm
not. Let's go home. Venus Williams is 31 years old today. Michael Showalter. He celebrates his 41st birthday. Actor Will Forte from Saturday Night Live is 41. Jason Patrick, very talented and handsome actor, is 45 years old. He was the heir apparent. At one point in his career, he was going to be the next big thing, movie star-wise and like matinee idol kind of wise.
What was his big
Lost Boys
movie?
Was when he kind of caught everyone's attention. He was the teen heartthrob of Lost Boys. All the girls just thought he was the dreamiest.
And then he did Speed 2 with Sandra Bullock. He took over for the Keanu Reeves role. He had several sort of high-profile roles, and they really thought he was going to be the guy. He did a movie called Rush, which he was great in, if you ever get a chance to see it.
Right.
And then
he lost all of his hair, though.
He did go bald, and I think that had some effect on his matinee idol appeal. And he's sort of fallen by the wayside as an actor. I always thought he was really good.
He was a good actor, yeah.
He's 45 years old today. Greg Kinnear celebrates his 48th birthday. Thomas Hayden Church, another real good actor, is 51. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 53. Joe Piscopo, comedian, is 60 years old. And singer Barry Manilow celebrates his 68th birthday today. Giving him no chance. All right,
trying to assure that doesn't get played.
I'm Ralph Garman. I watch Showbiz Beat. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Woo! Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you ready for the big one?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, what a cool song.
Roll another one.
Shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
Just like the other one.
You're an idiot asshole.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What?
And I need another hit.
I'm in love with seahorses.
Yeah, right.
I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses.
Yeah, right.
They're fucking unreal. I love them. I love them. Seahorses. Forever.
Not ever.
Roll. Another one.
I'm Indian Pride, huh? Landale.
Just like the other.
Like a garden, I dig it.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh no, poor guy.
I don't have another cent.
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
Let's all keep it funky now.
This pass it around.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Okay, this is it.
That's not the way this record is supposed to end.
We've had some good laughs, not enough.
So, coasting time is officially over. Big changes are coming, and they're coming fast. And if you don't like them, this is called a door. You can walk right through it. All right? I'm not here to be your friend. I like my life outside of this place. I live to leave at 5.
You just like to hit and quit it, huh? That's how you roll?
Well, all good things must come to an end, and that's all for this week.